got to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the show. You can get involved by calling 888-77-5373. 888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question for this week, it's amazing what will happen if you neither agree nor disagree with others. What will happen if you neither agreed or disagree with others? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show, jesseleepeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about doing whatever it is you do, and you just can't sit and watch the show, you can podcast, of course. Podcast the shows, right? But you can be listening on your iPhone or iPad anywhere in the world. And we are heard around the world by everybody and they mama. And if you're white, everybody and their mama. So you can be listening on your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk. BuyMeOnCoffee.com/JLP Talk. Or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. You want to wait? Talking to Hake. It's Thursday.
Got to be the truth, and the truth got to come from the Bible.
Amazing. And every Thursday, we take all calls, but every Thursday is Bible Thumper Thursday. Oh, Lord. Why, George?
All right, brother. Are you ready? He's drunk as a badger.
Drunk as a badger.
Go ahead. Let that Holy Ghost language come up out of you. Go ahead.
Oh, shana. Me. Amazing. So, I have a guess. And I'm going to get to your calls as well, 888-77-JESSE. Since it was Bible Thumper Thursday, I thought we should get a better understanding about the Bible and other religion. So I have with me Thaddeus Patrick. And Thaddeus is an Orthodox Christian teacher, coach, and speaker dedicated to making ancient spiritual wisdom accessible and transformative in modern life. Thaddeus, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, sir. A couple of things I want to understand first. when you say that you are a teacher, coach, is that the same as being a preacher?
There's some overlapping subjects. I would be closer to a therapist. I work with a lot of people who are going through trauma and different struggles in life, and I do emphasize a lot of Christianity. I use a lot of ancient Christian sources. I use a lot of scriptures, and so I think some call.
I lost him. Hold on, Thaddeus. What happened?
May have been Thaddeus. Do we still have you there?
I can't hear you.
Test. I think we just heard him there.
What?
What about now?
There you go. Thank you, Thaddeus.
Okay. And not sure what happened.
You were saying that you are a Christian teacher. So did you go to school to be a Christian teacher, or were you called by God?
Yeah. I hope I was called. I hope it's God's will. I hope I'm called by God. I did go through a Protestant Bible college before I became Eastern Orthodox, and I double majored in psychology and in Bible and theology. So a little bit of training in both of those.
And so you went to school for it, you're not called by God, right? You hoped you are, but you're not sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good to. I'm not a big believer in presuming that what I do is the will of God.
Oh, okay.
But I also think His hand is in most things. So okay. I guess I would say if I judge by the fruit, then probably called by God.
And when you say you're a coach and a speaker, what is a coach in religion? What is it that you do when you say you're a coach?
Yeah, I mostly use the term because it's very broad, so it covers a lot of different bases. I've had a couple people that came to me out of cults and needed therapy for recovering from cults that talked about Jesus and talked about God, and they still wanted to believe in Him. Other people come to me about invasive thoughts. Some people do come to me with apologetics questions. That happens once in a while. But yeah, I talk about a lot of different things, but the crux of it, the crux of my personal focus is finding meaning and purpose in the difficult things that happen to us.
Right. So is there a difference between a teacher and a coach?
A small one. I don't think a significant one.
Oh, okay. Amazing. One last thing about that, and I want to get into the subject matter here. What is an Orthodox Christian? What is that exactly?
Yeah, the simple version is, if you go all the way back to the time of the apostles, they went out and they founded all of these different churches. And the churches had different leadership structures, Alexandria, Rome, Antioch and Jerusalem, and a variety of others. Those were kind of the big five. But they all went out and basically stayed in communion as a community. And then over time, you had one of the churches come into conflict, which was Rome. And eventually in 1054, Rome and the other four churches and a lot of the other ancient churches, they parted ways. Over Rome saying they were in charge of the other churches, Rome becomes what we know today as Roman Catholicism, and the other churches stay together. The Jerusalem, Antioch, all these churches I named that are from the time of the apostles,
right,
they're all still around today. Those are the Eastern Orthodox churches. And then you have in the 1500s in Catholicism exclusively, you have the Protestant Reformation, which is where they put a much bigger emphasis on scripture. And that fragments off into a lot of different groups, but that's kind of where you get them. So Eastern Orthodoxy, our claim would be that we are the most ancient church, even before Roman Catholicism, which a lot of people think that's the oldest claim in Christianity, but there's more going on. So
amazing. So were you raised as an Orthodox Christian, or did you become that way later?
I It was later. I started off as, I guess I would just say, a non-denominational evangelical.
Oh, okay.
So some mega church stuff, a little bit of charismatic influences. And then it was really history that got me, like, I studied history actually to prove the Catholics and Orthodox wrong. And over time, I got convicted by what I was reading, that I didn't have as good of a case for myself as I thought I did. And so I started looking at both of them. And the Catholics really had this legal emphasis, and the Orthodox had a pastoral one that was very about your heart and your walk with Christ, which was one of the things I did still believe from my time as an evangelical. And so the history combined with the spiritual life, which is why I do that in my coaching now, is I apply some of the things I was applying to myself. That's what eventually won me over to converting to Orthodoxy.
So you decide, you know what, I don't want to be a evangelical type of Christian. Now that I know a little bit more about Orthodox, you wanted to be an Orthodox Christian, right?
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, I wanted something that was had the most evidence that it was actually from the apostles, just because a lot of stuff had been changed by men. So
yeah, absolutely. And do you speaking of the apostles, do you have a favorite one?
Thomas. Thomas is my favorite.
And why Thomas?
I am a perpetual doubter and skeptic. I like to question everything.
Yeah.
And I actually, once I started looking at Orthodoxy, in between the two, being evangelical and being Orthodox, I kind of broke. Like when I realized that things that I could believe, and I think all of us should have this experience. It's good. It's from God. But I realized like I was wrong about so many things that I was so confident in. And it made me question Christianity, but I think it was from the Lord, like it to really humble me and make me think about trusting myself too much. And so I looked at the world religions, and I looked at atheism, and Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Mormonism, but I couldn't get away from Christ. And eventually I just got won over by the Orthodox Church. But yeah, that skeptical part of me just said, I have to look at everything and really consider it and pray about it and decide. And yeah, so I'm a very big fan of the Apostle Thomas.
Amazing. I get, for the last 35 years, to be honest, I cannot tell you the number of books I have, different books on different everything. And normally I don't read the books because I'm black and slow and I don't like read. You know how black people don't like to read, right?
Yeah, me neither. I might be black. That's probably it.
And normally I don't read the books. But then once in a while, I would pick one up, especially if someone, like a couple different people send me the same book, right? And so I have like maybe three copies of the book of Thomas. And so finally I decided, let me read Thomas, because Thomas is not in the Bible. So I've not heard of Thomas. I've heard of Doubting Thomas, but I didn't know much about him. And then I read and I read it sometimes. I don't read it all the time. And he's very interesting to me. It's very, very interesting. Why was he left out of the Bible?
I think the early Christians, there's the Gospel of Thomas, there's the Infancy Gospel of Thomas, which is about Jesus's childhood. I think the early Christians considered that book to not be authentic, to be a Gnostic text. So, I mean, it's always possible, but I read it years ago. And I know some of the teachings in there are hard to reconcile with the rest of scripture, but I think the first couple generations, being discipled by the apostles, they didn't seem to treat it as an authentic text. And so,
amazing.
Yeah.
A lot of books have been left out of the Bible, right?
Yeah, there were a lot of Gnostics, people who didn't believe, they believed a variety of things, but they believed, for example, that the material world was evil, was a key Gnostic teaching. They really emphasized esoteric knowledge, so they believed that the truth of Christianity wasn't for everyone. It was just for people who were elite enough, or they had a variety of explanations. And I know that the Gospel of Thomas says that women can't go to heaven unless they become like men. Like, there's just very strange teachings in Gnosticism. And so that was like the first battle the Christians had after the Pharisees was with Gnostics. And they also would sometimes teach that the God of the Old Testament and New Testament were two different gods. This is Marcionism. And so the books that they included were the one in the canon of scripture were the ones that were authentic, but also the ones that were most spiritually edifying. So there were texts at the time that the first Christians in the first two centuries considered to not be authentically Christian.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
Are there Gnostic Christians around now?
Oh, there's not really. They'd be kind of like if you study the neo-pagans, they're not really much like ancient pagans. There's people that claim to be Gnostics now, but when I'll ask them if they claim to be Gnostic, I'm like, do you believe that the material world is bad? And most of them will be like, oh, no. And when you really dig into it, it's more that they're cherry picking a couple things that they like. And yeah. So.
Amazing. Is God involved in religion?
I would say yes. I mean, the word religion, I know, gets used a lot of different ways, but depending on what you mean, certainly.
And you say, yes, God is involved in religion.
Yeah, what do you mean by religion?
Religion is what people believe in. God, when you say, like, if someone should ask me what religion I belong to, I would normally say Christianity. Or your religion is Orthodox. That kind of stuff. And so is God involved in religion?
Yes, I think there's a couple. So some people, when they say, coming from my background, when they say religion, they mean rituals. So I wasn't sure if that was what you meant.
Religion is a ritual, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's in the Bible front to back. There's all these rituals.
Yeah.
Even in heaven, Revelation describes rituals. So.
And so is God involved in religion?
Yeah. So I would consider myself a Christian, but it, you know, with how many different competing claims of what is Christianity, that's why we will specify Orthodox Christianity. But the crux of being an Orthodox Christian is the belief that the person of Christ is, we have, and some Protestants will say this too, it's a great, great thing, is that we have a God-shaped hole in our hearts. And so for the Orthodox Christian, we believe one of our modern teachers, St. Justin Popovich, said that there is no man that is not God-man, that if we're not united to God, we're not even complete in ourselves. He's like a necessary ingredient of a human being is actually the presence of God himself. And so everything in Orthodox Christianity, including all the rituals, they're not about, you know, earning something or anything like that. They're all something that actually makes us a closer friend with Christ.
Amazing.
And for us, that's at the foundation of everything.
And if God is involved in religion at all, why is it that it doesn't work? If God is involved in religion, why is religion not working for anyone?
Yeah, I mean, I think in Orthodoxy it works. That's part of what won me over is I've seen people being transformed on a level. I mean, I know people who are not, say, who are atheists or pagans, and they're genuinely virtuous people. And I know some Protestants from my past, evangelicals, that I've seen miraculous stuff. And I've seen some love there. But in the Orthodox Christians, I have seen the deepest levels of peace and divine love, something that you can that's palatable. Like if you meet some Orthodox priests, there's something, you know, I don't expect anyone to just take my word for it,
right?
But I can only speak of, you know, I can't help but speak about the things I've seen, as the apostles said.
yeah.
But I do think that the truth matters, that if I tell you, for example, my mom's love language is gifts.
if you buy her a gift, she just is overjoyed. And if you don't get her a gift, it's the end of the world. Now, if you come and tell me, oh, I know your mom, I'm going to go, oh, really? That's cool. Blah, blah, blah. And then, and you know her name and all this stuff. And then you tell me, yeah, she hates gifts. I'm going to go, do you actually know her? Is something weird going on here? And so, and not only that, it's not just about, you know, being suspicious about what this person is saying. But if you think that she doesn't like gifts, you're actually going to harm the relationship with her. And so I bring that up because if you think God, for example, is really, really about debts and payments rather than love and relationship, you're going to engage with him in a way that may not actually lead you closer to him. And so truth matters. It matters what we believe about him. Now, he's merciful. It's not like he just rejects us because of an accidental error, but it's a balance. He's merciful, but it does matter what we teach. It does have consequences.
And who do you know God?
I would say I do. I mean, it's like any relationship. Every day I learn more about him. Every day that deepens. So there's a way I hesitate because I'm like, well, there's parts of him I don't know. There's parts I will probably never know the depths of him. But it's always increasing. It's something that builds every day.
And so, who is God?
I would say Jesus Christ.
Jesus is God?
Yeah.
And so if Jesus is God, who is the Son of God?
Jesus is the Son of God.
So Jesus is the Son and the Daddy.
The Father is God and the Son is God. And the Holy Spirit is God.
And so you're saying that Jesus is the Son and the Father?
No.
But
no,
who is
you're human and I'm human.
Right.
But we're different. And we're the same.
I'm again, I'm black and slow, so if I seem slow, I am. But God is the Father, you said, right?
The Father is God, yes.
And Jesus is God too, or the Father. Are you saying that?
Jesus is God, yes, Please. But Jesus is not the Father. They're both God, just like we're both humans.
Okay. Let me ask, where did you get, I don't want to get off into that so much, but I do want to come back to God and Jesus thing. Do you have perfect peace?
I wouldn't say perfect, but I would say it increases every day. I mean, the Lord says, take up your crosses. Crosses are anguish. I wouldn't say Jesus had peace in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was sweating like great drops of blood, the scriptures say. But he did trust his Father, and I trust God.
And when you say are you saying yes or no to having perfect peace?
I think I would say that's a loaded question. I don't know that it can be black. Not everything's black and white, if that makes sense.
What do you mean by loaded?
It loaded means it structures something in a way that the real answer can't fit inside it. So black and white questions, for example, sometimes are loaded. Like asking if a car, is it pink or is it blue? And it's a red car.
Amazing. And so you're saying, no, you do not, or yes, you do have perfect peace.
I would say I have peace. I can't say it's perfect yet.
Oh, okay.
It's increasing. That's what I mean.
How is it possible to know God and not have perfect peace?
Well, I think the answer I gave before is my knowledge of God is increasing and my peace is increasing. Because we Orthodox very much believe that it's a relationship. That's something that builds over time, that you grow and you endure. And it works just like real life relationships. Like if I make a friend, there's the initial knowledge I have talking to them and meeting them. But over time, I get to know them better. I trust them more, and my peace builds there too. So I think we can experience how this works just in everyday relationships. I don't meet someone, and then there's this like point where I know everything about them, and I have perfect peace and trust that they'll never do anything wrong. I'm weak. I'm the weak one in the relationship. God's faithful, and so it's something that slowly increases over time as I grow, as He transforms me. As I work out my faith with fear and trembling, as the scriptures say.
But the more you, if you meet a friend, a person, and you become friends with that person, the more you know about them, the less you like them or want to be around them. Is that the same way with God?
I hope not. I mean, most friends I have, I've liked them more as it grows. So I like you more as we're having this conversation. So, yeah.
Amazing. Where did you get the idea that Jesus is God? Where did that come from? Because I've not read it in any book, including the Bible. I've not seen it anywhere. I hear people say it, but I've not seen it in the Bible anywhere. Where do you get the idea that Jesus is God?
Yeah, I would cite a lot of different places in Scripture. Obviously, I first heard it, like if we're really tracing it back to my practical experience,
right.
I first heard it from Protestants,
yeah.
Who taught it to me, and they had lots of scriptures behind it. At the time, I will say, it didn't mean much to me. Like, I knew God could be a mystery, and he could tell us things about himself that we couldn't grasp. I knew that was a basic possibility. He's God, and I'm not. But I didn't, it was kind of like, okay, well, I see these Bible verses and this is what we believe. So this is what we believe. The word Trinity is not in the Bible, but you know, whatever. And then it wasn't until I started reading some of the early Christian writers, why they believed in the Trinity, that it started to mean something to me. Like it started to be like, oh, this is why it matters. Cause otherwise it's just like, God is three in one. That's just data for my head. Like, cool. I'll, you know, write it down, whatever, but it doesn't mean anything. When I hear the word love, that means something that relates to my actual life experience. So the Trinity, now I believe in it because it makes everything in the universe make sense. But I do think for me, it did start with the scriptures, because you have, you know, in Genesis where God says, let us make man in our image. If God says us, that means more than one in God. Now, that doesn't teach the Trinity explicitly, but that certainly challenges this idea that God is one, period, end of story, that's it. And not only that, what's interesting, I was saying this earlier with like, I'm fully human, you're fully human, and yet we're not the same person. You get to where Genesis in this, well, it's the same section, God said, let us make man in our image. And what does he make? Male and female. Two people, multiple, plural, is actually what reflects him. And not only that, and I think this establishes that language I was using even more, the two become one flesh. The two become one. So this idea of multiple also being called one is right there out of the gate with the God, us, and the image, male and female, and then the two become one. And this us language comes back again at the Tower of Babel. And I think there's other Old Testament citations too, but that's some very, if the point of the Bible is that God is just purely one and there's just the Father, etc., that's some really strange language. But so, once you get to the New Testament, I think the beginning of John, when it says that the Word was with the Father, as a Son is with a Father. The Word is with the Father, or the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you see this paradoxical, but there it is, like concept of being with someone and being that same thing as them.
If I'm hearing you right, you only believe that the Trinity exists because you were first taught that by someone. You heard someone said it, but nowhere in any scriptures that there are teaching.
Oh, you got to give me a chance to get there.
of the Trinity at all. There's no teaching of it in your education or anywhere you ever read anything about the Trinity from the Word. You believe it because someone said it. Does that concern you? That Jesus never talked about it. There's no teaching of it except some person said that it exists. Does that concern you?
Well, it's not true. It's not what I just said.
Hold that thought for me.
So I wouldn't be concerned.
Hold that thought. Let me take a break and we'll come back and pick up on that. Don't let me forget.
Okay.
Quick break, 888-775-3773. Back in a moment. Now, I totally disagree with the way things are going, but you can't be angry. because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to control you. They do things to make you mad so they can control you. It's like being married. And the wife would do things to make you mad, or she'll do things to make you feel good. And men do that to women too when they want something from the woman, especially sex. They'll make her feel good or they'll make her angry. And the woman's gonna have to say, you don't want to be angry. You want to speak up. You want to disagree with what's going on. It's wrong, but do not be angry. Then you won't have fear. You won't have doubt. You won't have worries. You'll be able to see, but you got to stay away from anger. That's why you must forgive your mothers and your fathers so that you can overcome the spirit of anger. It's a spirit and it's wicked. Nothing good in anger because it has no love, folks. You need love to defeat evil. And love is not a weakness. It's a strength. It's from God. It's His nature. Okay, folks, welcome back. 888-777-JESSE. We're going to get to your calls here in a minute. Announcement, the HAKE, H-A-K-E report is coming up at 9 a.m. this morning, Monday through Friday. Right after my show, HAKE, James HAKE, is on fire. The guy with the good hair, he's not afraid of the blacks, and he's white. What the? And then after the HAKE report, Joel Friday TV, he black, Monday through Thursday, even though his name is Friday, Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And after that, the American Anchor Baby at 12 noon, the American Anchor Baby, energy given to him by God at 12 noon. Two other quick things. Father's Day is coming up. We have a special going on for cameos, shout-outs, special shout-outs, birthday shout-outs, wedding, anniversaries, encouragement. Just as we did for the mothers, we have a special shout-out, and I'll do them for you, for the fathers. And this special lasts until June 6th at 10 p.m., so hurry, 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 and get your cameo in. Go to cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. All right. And last but not least, for now, I have a brand new episode of the Fallen State TV every Friday. And I had an amazing discussion with Frank Stallone. And Frank is a Grammy and Golden Gate nominated actor, musician, and the brother of Sylvester Stallone. Watch this.
Next time on The Fallen State.
So you are the brother to Sylvester Stallone,
yes,
right?
I'm his younger brother. We didn't come from basically an artistic background. You know, some people just maybe have a natural gift that I think is a divine intervention.
And what's your impression of the world?
I've been to China, Jordan, I've played in Italy. People just don't realize how fortunate we are to live in this country. Trump is a leader.
Yeah,
he's
absolutely
an alpha.
All the way.
He's got what they call in Hollywood
alpha
the
man.
It factor.
Yes.
He's got it.
Amazing. This Friday, 11 a.m., and you can you can become a member of the Fallen State right there on YouTube and local. I said Golden Gate, but it's Golden Globe nominee. I was thinking of San Francisco Bridge, I guess. I have with me Thaddeus Patrick, and Thaddeus is an Orthodox Christian teacher, coach, and speaker dedicated to making ancient spiritual wisdom accessible and transformative in modern religion. That is, what's your website or anything you'd like to give out?
What was that?
Your website? Would you like to give out your website or anything?
Yeah. My website is thaddeusthought.com. So there's some blog posts on there and some coaching information in a contact me page. I also have a YouTube channel. If you just search Thaddeus Patrick on YouTube, it'll probably pop up, and it's different lectures basically related to my coaching. So funny enough, the newest one I did is on the Trinity and the doctrine of the Trinity. And so if anyone wants to learn more about that, that's a great, great place to look. Yeah.
Nice. Thaddeus is a name I don't hear a lot. When I was growing up, I maybe have heard it once or twice. I ran into someone named Thaddeus. Is that a religious name?
It is, yeah. My legal name is Shay. And then Orthodox Christians practice the tradition we see in the scriptures of Christ giving new names. And so usually the name you will take is some past saint, which is basically a Christian hero, as we use the term. So Elder Thaddeus, my patron, was a Serbian monk who reposed about 15 years ago. And he has a book called Our Thoughts Determine Our Lives that's all about prayer and thoughts and how our struggles unite us with Christ that inspired what I do today. So
okay.
Wonderful Amazing. Book.
Nice. And so before the break, we were talking about the Trinity. And nowhere in scriptures there's a teaching of this Trinity. It's not been taught anywhere. And yet you said you believe it because you first heard someone said it. A preacher, somebody said, mentioned the Trinity. And I ask that in your reading of the scriptures, there's no teaching of the Trinity. Are you concerned that there's no teaching about the Trinity, but yet you believe it because someone said it?
Well, I think lots of things we believe because someone said it.
How about that?
It's a problem if it's exclusively that. And I think I pretty clearly said that's not the reason. I believe it because of actually many scripture verses. I only touched on a couple of them already. And you also have God saying, I am, which is a term exclusively for him. Jesus says before Moses, I am. And then the Jews want to stone him because they know exactly what that means. And then Thomas, our buddy Thomas, when Christ shows him the holes in his hands, what does he say? He says, my Lord and my God. And of course, Jesus says, whoa, I'm not God. No, he says, blessed is your faith. So there's just a handful of examples of Jesus being God in the New Testament. And you don't have anywhere where he says otherwise. So if the word is with God and the word is Jesus Christ and the word was God, that's a claim that he's God too, which I talked about before the break. And so that's just a handful off the top of my head. But I don't believe anymore because someone told me. I believe because it's in the scriptures. And I believe because now that I understand the doctrine itself, there's nothing better in the universe. But I'll cut myself off there. That's a whole hour and a half video on my YouTube channel.
Right.
So.
But it's still, you're reading into it. Just because he said, I am. He didn't say, I am the Trinity. Just because he said God.
He said he's God.
He said.
He used a term for God to describe himself.
Jesus never said he was God. But I'll come back to that in a minute.
Thomas did, and he called it faith.
Let me say this first. Just because he said, I am, and all that, he never said, I am the Trinity. There's no teaching about the Trinity.
Jesus doesn't say he's the Trinity.
Do you find it odd that Christ never taught the Trinity or mentioned the Trinity at all? And if it was that important, or if it was real, he would have mentioned or taught the Trinity?
Well, I think that you're focused on something that's more semantic. The point is, whether going back to my mom, whether we call her love of gifts a love language or we call it a different word, the point is the essence of what we're talking about. It doesn't really matter the word. And so the word Trinity, no, is not in the scriptures, but no words in the English language are in the scriptures. So every word you're speaking right now when you quote the scriptures isn't in the scriptures. But we translate words because concepts happen to be across languages, so we find the equivalent concept. So the idea is there, yes. You can read Psalm 33 where it talks about God sending forth his word and also his spirit. That's talking about the Trinity. Does it explicitly lay out every detail in one verse? No, but I guarantee you a vast majority of the doctrines you and I both believe aren't like that. We're taking one verse, two verses, three verses, we're interpreting them, and then we're coming to a conclusion. So no one can escape that. We can't escape the fact that scripture has to go through our interpretation. But I think there's some clear things. When Thomas says, my Lord and my God, and Jesus calls that faith rather than objecting, that suggests Jesus is okay with someone calling him my God. That's not my interpretation. That's pretty cut and dry, at least
but
as much
people,
as you can get.
Just because Thomas said that, that doesn't mean that Jesus was thinking of himself as God or there is a Trinity, because people tend to always put up titles and on people. You know, they call him what they want to call, but Jesus never called himself that. Let me ask.
Why does it have to be Jesus? Why can't it be that? I mean, he said I am, which is a term for God. I mean, if you study ancient Judaism, that's not disputed in the slightest.
But he didn't say I am God. He just said I am. But let me ask.
Because I am means God. That's a term for God. It's translated as he being, the one who is. Everything else shifts and changes, the physical, time, etc. God doesn't. He is just simply is. And if Jesus says I am that, which is a Jewish term for God, that is a term, we know what the term means, then he's claiming to be God when he says that. And again, the Jews know exactly what he means, which is why they want to kill him for saying that.
Amazing. Let me ask, if Jesus saw himself as God, why would he say to the people, when they were trying to praise him and worship him, and oh, Jesus, you're healing people, you're something else, you are this, you are that, and he corrected them by saying, don't be praising me, because it's not me that's doing the work. It's the Father in me. My Father and I are one, but it's my Father doing the work, not me. And so don't worship me and don't praise me. If he was God, why would he rebuke the people for worshiping him?
I'd like to see the passage, because I don't recall him saying, rebuking them or saying not that he's not involved
he
in that
did.
Sort of
he
way.
He said, it's not me, but my Father in me. He does the work. And the same work shall you do, an even greater work because of the Father. So if he was God, why would he have said, well, the same work I'll do, I mean, you'll do because of me. But he said it's because of the Father. Why would he say that if he was God?
Yeah, I could tell you I don't know if it'll convince you after I've given you three times he does say he's God. But it's because one of the attributes of God is humility. This is why the scriptures say he doesn't consider being equal to God something to be grasped. He doesn't say he's not equal. It doesn't say he's not equal to God. What it says is he doesn't consider it something to be grasped, something that he's dwelling on. A humble person doesn't think about how great they are. And Christ is humble. And so when someone says, oh, it's all coming from you, he's like, this comes from my Father. Just like, I'll give a good example is if you tell a man, he's a married man, he's really great. A lot of times he'll say, you know, if my wife didn't support me, you know, I'd be nothing. You know, and if you go talk to her, she might say the same thing about him. If I didn't have a wonderful husband, like I wouldn't make it. This is related to relationship. This isn't related to dogma. This is related to deeper spiritual truths about who God is and who he wants us to be. So the humility of Christ is a really important theme all through the scriptures.
I have some calls for you, and time going by fast, so I want to get to some of these calls and questions for you. But let me ask, Jesus said that we are his brothers and the women are his sisters, and the same thing his Father owned in heaven, we own it too. We are inheritors of the Father. Why would he say that if he's our God, why would he say he is our brother?
Yeah, that's a very good question. He is God's son by nature. The scriptures say we're God's sons by adoption, which means he is directly related to God because he's also God. We are human beings, so we become sons by adoption. We become his brother by adoption, as the scriptures say. And the whole point of the Christian life is to, First Peter calls it, to be partakers of the divine nature. So the whole point is, even though we are not God and he is, we do participate in a way. We, just like a husband and wife, participate in each other and take on. She feels strength and security from his strength. He feels gentleness and a deeper connection with himself through her and her gentleness with him. Like, there's these dynamics that happen in all relationships where we actually participate in each other. So we're supposed to have that with God. We don't become God in a capital G sense, but we do. Christ says, don't you know you are God's? Like, he's not saying we are literally God either. But he is saying that we participate in him the more we bond with him. Just as he became incarnate and he participates in being a man. And so there's this, that participation going on there.
Amazing. Do you believe you, Patrick? If Patrick, the name Patrick, is that related to Saint Patrick?
It is, yeah.
Amazing. So do you, Patrick, believe that you can do, or Thaddeus, do you believe that you can do greater works than Jesus?
I'd say theoretically. I don't think that that means that one Orthodox, and if you go through Christian history, they don't believe that you just, everything has to be done by the Father. Just like it was, like you said, with the passage about Christ, for us especially, everything has to be the will of the Father. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we don't believe that you can just acquire power from God and then you get to do whatever you want. It's always flowing from his will, and we should always be constantly saying, God, what's your will? And if God gives us the power to do something, that's because it's his will. But I will tell you that there are 2,000 years of saints in the Orthodox lineage doing greater things than Christ, by Christ, through his power, but fulfilling that passage. I mean, you can read writings from the 1st, 2nd, 3rd century. You can read the Martyrdom of Polycarp, St. Ignatius of Antioch, these wonderful, godly men who were trained by the apostles themselves, personally discipled and taught how to convey Christianity onwards past their lifetimes.
Amazing.
And their stories are incredible. The Christianity exploded in the 1st century with numbers that, like, secular scholars are always a little uncomfortable with. Because of what was going on with these people, so.
Amazing. So one last thing about Jesus, I think. When Jesus had, when it was done in the New Testament, it was finished, it was done. It was amazing. And Jesus said, all right, I'm done. I'm going back home to the Father, and I'm going to sit at the right hand of the Father. And so, be cool, all is well. Was Jesus said, I'm going to sit at my own right hand, or is he sitting at the hands of someone else, the right hand of someone else?
Someone else, a different
and
person.
And who is that someone else?
The Father.
And so the Son is sitting next to the Father?
Yes.
But yet you believe he's God.
Yes. Amazing. In the same way I can sit next to you, and you're human, and I'm human. God, Christ is God, and the Father is God, and so they can sit next to each other. I mean, I don't think it's like a literal spatial thing. The Father doesn't have a body like Christ does, but obviously, like, it does suggest they're two persons, yeah.
Amazing. So, a couple questions for you. Somebody want to know, do you have a free will?
Yeah, I believe I have agency, yeah, that I have the ability to make choices that I'm responsible for outside of, I guess you'd call it determinism, you know, the alternative being that everything is, you know, it's a bunch of particles, and if you could just track all the particles, you could know what every person's going to do. I don't believe that, no. I believe there's something that reflects God that actually gives us an agency like he has because he put it there.
And so you're saying, yes, you do have a free will?
Yes.
Can you will yourself to never be angry again right now?
No.
And why not?
Because, well, this is another one of those black and white questions. You can't. I have the ability to make effort in the universe. I'm not a god. I can't create and destroy particles. However, I'm also not a computer which just does commands. I have the ability to make choices, but my choices are intermingled with reality. So I can choose to, you know, like smash my microphone here in or not, but I can't multiply the microphone as Christ multiplied the loaves.
But
so
what's the purpose of having a free will when it can't help you?
It can help me.
Amazing. Someone want to know, what did God mean when he said, I am? You may have already answered that. Well, when God's, what did God mean when he said, I am?
Yeah, I did touch on it. Some call it the first principle. It means that he's the cause of everything. He's outside of it. He's outside of time. He's also participates in it. It's not supposed to imply a separation, but he's above it, beyond it. And then within himself and his existence is creation. And so he is, like, it implies he supersedes everything. Like I said, it's better. It could be translated as he being, simply the one who is. Everything else fits in words and concepts, and it's in space. He's beyond all of that.
Patrick, who are you?
Oh.
I mean, Thaddeus, who are you?
I don't know if I would stop talking if I tried to answer that question. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm someone who's seeking Christ. I'm someone whose life... My life, especially if I have a person who's not a Christian at all, ask me, you know, what's my religion about? What's the purpose of my life? My life is to be united with God and to be united with love, because God is love, as the scriptures say. And so my goal is not simply to do good things for people, but to have the sacrificial spirit that Christ has on the cross, which is one of the most divine things about God, is that when so much evil is done to him, these people torture him, spit on him, treat him as unfairly as anyone has treated anyone. And he looks at them, and from the bottom of his heart, he says, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." And the early church said, "You want a vision of the divine? That's it right there." Like,
let me
that's
do this because of time. So I ask you, who are you? You said you're a Christian, so that's a religion that you belong to. You said you're about God, you mentioned God. But my question is, who are you? You've named the things you do, and you believe that you belong to God, but who are you?
Could you give me an example of what kind of answer you're looking for? Because I'm not sure.
Yes,
I think you can only know someone by being around them, if that makes sense.
But you are around you, right?
Yeah.
And so who are you?
That's like asking me, what is it like to hear your favorite song?
And
you can only understand it by hearing it. So you only know who I am. I only know who I am by being me. That's the only way to acquire that knowledge.
And so who are you then?
You're finding out. Like, your dialogue with me, that's the answer. Some answers don't fit in words.
Patrick, I have a couple callers that want to speak with you. Do you have time to at least hang out for another, at least 10 minutes, maybe 10 minutes?
Sure.
Let me take a break. When I come back, we'll go to the callers, and then I'll let you go. 888-775-3773. The hate news is coming up. Not the fake news, but the hate news. And I'll be back in a moment. Shining for you, guiding your way. Check out Punchy's Coffee. I have my own coffee now. Punchy Coffee is good. Every bag is roasted to order. Freshest flavor. Top quality. Specialty grade beans. Good. Every dime goes back to Bar, my nonprofit. And we are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. So when you're drinking coffee and enjoying it, just know you're helping somebody. Amazing coffee. Punchy has his own coffee now. What the? And it's so good. All the way from the plantation to my own coffee. Who would have thought? Did that coffee come from the plantation? Did I pick my own coffee? Check it out. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com, RebuildingTheMan.com/stores, and get Punchy's coffee.
a whole lot of mess going on in the world. Good things, in some cases, perhaps. Because over in New Zealand, shout out to the Kiwis, some politicians got suspended for like 3 weeks or something for doing that haka thing where they look crazy. Maybe like me, and trying to act all tough, and they look ridiculous because they're girls or whatever, or soft. And then also, meanwhile, in America, the travel ban is back. Back on the bandwagon, our greatest president, banning travel from various countries. Shout out to those countries and their countrymen who are already here in America. Shout out to them. Some of them have been on the Hague Report, by the way, or one of them I know, a guy from Yemen, shout out. And the Israel-Hamas war drama is continuing. This is the end of hour one of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It's Bible Thumper Thursday, June 5th, A.D. 2025. There is one line open. You can call in right now. JLP has had a guest first hour. And it looks like he's holding over to talk with at least a couple of you, hopefully, in the hour two. It is Hague news, not fake news. New Zealand legislators voted today to suspend three so-called lawmakers from the parliament who performed a Maori haka last November. You guys heard of that? You guys probably seen it if you're on the internet, where they do this thing and act all tribal and tough. Some of them are Christians. I've seen Christians do it against the gay pride parades over there in New Zealand. But anyway, they did that last November. Some politicians did it, liberals, I think, in protest of a proposed law. Hana Rahuiti Maipi hyphen Clark received a 7-day ban. Okay, that's not 3 weeks. And the leaders of her political party, Te Pāti Māori, the Maori Party, Debbie Ngarawa Packer, and Rawiri Waiti. Pardon my butchering of the names. They were barred for 21 days. Nice. 3 weeks. Prior to this, the longest ban for a lawmaker in New Zealand's parliament was 3 days. Wow. The widely unpopular treaty bill that they were protesting, the suspended lawmakers said it would reverse indigenous rights, so-called indigenous, has already been defeated. So they did it for nothing. Well, I guess so. Anyway, the travel ban, our greatest president, Donald J. Trump, meanwhile, here in America, signed a proclamation last night to ban travel from 12 countries. 12 countries to the United States, citing the need to protect the country from foreign terrorists and other national security and public safety threats. The travel ban will take effect just after midnight, 12:01 a.m. June 9th. Will restrict the entry of nationals from Afghanistan, Myanmar, also known as Burma, Chad, the Republic of the Congo, not to be confused with the Democratic Republic of the Congo, I guess. I'm not sure. Equatorial Guinea, Eritrea, Haiti. Nice. Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen. People from Burundi, Cuba, Laos, Sierra Leone, Togo, Turkmenistan, and Venezuela will face a partial restriction. During his first term, Trump barred travelers from the seven majority Muslim countries from coming to the United States. The policy was challenged in court before our second greatest president, Joe Biden. I say it facetiously. Repealed it. In 2021, the U.S. vetoed a U.N. Security Council resolution, meanwhile in Israel and Gaza, calling for an immediate, unconditional, and permanent ceasefire between Israel and Hamas and the unconditional lifting of all restrictions on the entry of humanitarian aid into Gaza. The U.S. was the only council member nation to oppose the resolution Wednesday. As for the humanitarian aid, a controversial organization backed by the United States and Israel issued a 24-hour pause on aid after Palestinians en route to the distribution sites came under fire. Some of them got killed, you know? Terrible. Anyway, I'm James Hague. Now back to the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, Hour 2.
Hour 2.
got to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the second hour of the show. It's amazing. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-888-77-JESSE. And my brand new biblical question for this week is a doozy. What would happen if you neither agree nor disagree with others? What would happen if you neither agree or disagree with others? If you're running around busy, running from the people trying to pick you up because you're illegal alien, ICE, or if you're yelling at your husband or your wife right now, or you're sending your children off to a public school system because you hate your kids and you want your ego fulfilled so you won't stay home and raise the man children, you still can be listening to the show. You can podcast the show, but you can be listening, no matter where you are and what you're doing, around the world, by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. So if you have call off super chats with my guests, we'll read those while my guest is here. It's Thursday. And we take all calls, but Thursdays are set aside for Bible Thumper Thursday.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Are you ready? Are you ready? I don't feel your faith.
I don't feel your faith. Hallelujah. He's drunk as a bastard. Thaddeus, my bad. I'm sorry, Thaddeus. Thaddeus Patrick is here, and I'm holding him over because some people want to talk to him, and I want to give them a chance, and I appreciate Thaddeus hanging out a little longer for me. Thaddeus is an Orthodox Christian teacher, a coach, and speaker dedicated to making ancient spiritual wisdom accessible and transformative in modern life. Thaddeus, thank you again for hanging out a little long. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on so long.
And tell the folks again how they can hear your stuff, your website, whatever you want to put out.
Yeah, my website's thaddeusthought.com. My coaching information is available there. People are welcome to just message me and pick my brain too. My YouTube channel is Thaddeus Patrick. A lot of different talks there on integrating psychology, the scriptures, early church spirituality. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all the usual places. If you just search Thaddeus Patrick, usually I pop up. So
right on. I know you mentioned how, I think Thomas, you said that a woman has to become like a man, right? And I noticed that women who start to work on themselves and overcome the evil of their hearts, and they see what's right, I personally have noticed that they start to think in a logical way, in the way that a man thinks, instead of in a female way, like this crazy, out of control thinking, angry, emotional thinking. So I do know, I have noticed that God does change the woman's mind from that of an illogical mindset to a logical mindset, which are the same mindset that men should have. A lot of men don't have it because they have their mother's mindset. But they do change, their mind do change from illogical to logic. Have you noticed that?
There's definitely stability that comes as someone becomes mature and healthy, et cetera. Yeah.
Do you create your own thoughts?
I participate in the process. I know that's another vague answer, but I influence it. But there's definitely thoughts that come from the Holy Spirit. There's also thoughts from demons. That's traditionally like the main way demons are said to war against man is by sending them thoughts, invasive thoughts, temptations. Makes a lot of schizophrenic symptoms make sense. And I've experienced it. The negative thoughts, it's weird how they go after your weak spots. You know, if I say I was getting pelted by hail and I had like three little wounds on my arm, this might sound like a stretch, but three wounds on my arm, three bruises. And if I got pelted by hail, you know, it would hit all over. Some would hit the bruises, some wouldn't. But if the hail kept hitting only those three spots, I might go, maybe someone's throwing hail at me. Maybe someone's trying to hurt me. And you notice that sometimes with invasive thoughts. It's kind of like, how come it's always like the worst possible thing? How come out of nowhere the just horrible negative things come? Maybe you're in a good mood and all of a sudden like you feel like you remember something horrible. And it's like, what? Where did that come from? So a lot of the Christian life and a lot of what I work with is fighting invasive thoughts with prayer and psychology.
Amazing. And so do you create your own thoughts?
Yes and no.
Which one is it?
I don't. If it's framed as a black and white question, I would say no.
And what does yes and no mean?
Yes and no means I participate.
And how do you participate in creating your own thoughts? How do you do that?
I like this question. It's tough. I want to say I think, but of course that's redundant. I think what we're talking about is something that's so mystical and divine, and the image of God himself, the fact that God can give his power of agency to people, so they have choices and they're responsible for it. I think it's a mystical thing. It really is hard to explain, and yet I'm actively experiencing it. And I'm experiencing that we have morals and we have laws, which presume you have some sort of agency. But how that happens, how the inner workings of the mind and soul work, I don't know if anyone's ever mapped them. I don't know if anyone ever will or if they can.
Is it possible that you do not participate in thoughts?
It's possible because anything is possible, but I think if you believe determinism, if you believe that you have no control over yourself and your thoughts, the entire world falls apart and doesn't make any sense. Like, why do we have morality? You end up with the same problems that new atheism and materialism have. Materialists are claiming that everything's, you know, just stardust and particles and stuff. And you run into what David Hume called the is-ought problem. Just because something is doesn't mean you can derive any morality from it. Like, it's just a fact. Like, if there's a rock there, it doesn't mean I should or shouldn't break the rock. But we have all these special rules with humans and how they work that imply there is some kind of freedom and agency and love and a way we're supposed to behave towards each other. And we punish and we teach, which all suggests that we have a will to be influenced and that we make our own choices. So all law, all politics, all scriptures, psychology, all of it suggests that we have some kind of agency in our life.
I've noticed that. And I see clearly that all thoughts are all lies all the time about anything, that there is no such thing as a true thought. And I've noticed that anyone that believes thoughts are real, they're suffering. They're very emotional. They have fear. They have doubt. They have worries. They are anxiety. They are angry. They are evil. And they believe that it's them. They believe that they are their thoughts, that they create thoughts. And likewise, they believe that they are emotions. There are so many people who believe emotions are real. That is mind-blowing to me. But I want them to know that, do what they want. They can believe whatever, they can believe in their hell if they want. But all thoughts are all lies all the time, and we don't create thoughts. We have nothing to do with them, but we've been taught that we are creating them, and it only causes problem for the person. But let me ask, I forgot what I was going to ask. It was right on at the tip of my tongue. And because I'm under the pressure of time now, it went away, but it might come back.
I will say, I know a priest who says two quick quotes that I think are on point. He says, "You are not your thoughts."
Right.
And he also says, "Don't believe everything you think."
Don't believe anything you think, to be honest, because all thoughts are all lies all the time. Do you have anger?
Very little. I tend to be more of a sad person than an angry person.
A sad person?
Yeah.
And why are you sad?
Well, I mean, as a response, I'm not generally sad or angry, but if something happens I don't like, I tend towards sadness, because those are both reactions to things being not what you want.
And what's the purpose of being sad?
That gets too poetic. Participation in something being ugly. I know that sounds really goofy, but that's how I would describe it. So when ugly things happen,
we're not
closed off, we should be connected with them in some way. So they should affect us. But there is a bad sadness.
But what good does it do you to be sad about anything?
Because it's true. Because you recognize the truth of it.
But why should that make you sad, though?
If someone, I don't know how to explain something that's just, we all know by experience, but like if you lose someone you love, that's an ugly and sad thing. And the fact that if the heart isn't affected by that, something's wrong. Like might be a sociopath or a psychopath. Something we all generally recognize is wrong. Even Jesus cried, Jesus wept when Lazarus died.
I don't have time for that one. But let me ask. You better take me down further down this road. I can't get into that by Jesus crying. So what you said is ugly and whatever. So you're saying that, let's say someone died that you loved, right? Mm-hmm. And you become sad about it. You start crying. Are you saying that it's ugly because when you're crying, you're lying? You pretend that you're crying over the person when it's really about your ego. It has nothing to do with the person at all. That's why it's ugly to be sad.
No, it's the nature of love. Love is to risk yourself for others. And what I was describing earlier, the reason I was describing myself with the cross, like that's my goal, is because the ego is the very thing. You know, when I say, "God, save me," the ego is what I'm asking him to save me from. Not simply like, "Don't send me to the bad place in the fire." Like, it's deeper than that. But it's ego I want to be saved from. And divine love, agape, non-ego love, is God himself. As the scriptures say, God is love. This is that love. My love is, you know, a mix of ego and love. But as I walk with God, it becomes slowly more love and less ego.
I noticed that God's love is a dispassionate love, and Satan, evil love, is a passionate love. And I notice that people who cry, people who get angry, people who are judgmental, fear, and all that, they are evil people, and that they are children of evil, even though they call themselves children of God. They really children of Satan. Good. They're good children of evil, because if they were children of God, they wouldn't have this phony human love, which is not real love. Am I right? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I think that's spot on. And I think one of the themes that's really important, I deal with this a lot in my coaching, it's in a lot of the early Christian writers, is this idea that ugly things, sinful things, broken things, ego things are always a good thing hijacked, because evil isn't a created thing. And so it's always us twisting something that's good and beautiful. So maybe it's good, you know, if their parents die and they don't cry or they don't show any grief, I'm going to be worried. But if they cry for 10 years straight every day, I'm going to think, like you're thinking, something else is wrong here. There's like, a place for a lot of these things.
Yeah. One last quick question, then we got to go to the calls, and then I got to let you go. Do you have morals and values?
Yes.
And where do you get them from?
From God.
And from God, what do you mean by that?
God is the one who made everything. He is the law itself. Since everything comes from God, he knows how it should operate. And anyone who is his friend and loves him cares about what his wishes are, cares about doing right by him. And so what that looks like practically is it sometimes comes from scriptures. It sometimes comes through his providence. Like, you know, if Paul says he rejoices in his sufferings, you know, so if something bad happens to me, you know, I try and accept that as the will of God, which easier said than done, but there's a process there that can happen. And so God reveals his will a lot of different ways.
And have you noticed that all of your life, your morals and values have never worked? They don't work. You can't live up to them. Have you noticed that?
No.
And why not?
Because sometimes I can.
What?
Sometimes I have been able to live up to my morals.
When?
When someone wrongs me and God tells me that I'm supposed to forgive them, then I go to them and I forgive them. I mean, that's like a very simple example, but...
But you don't truly forgive them, because in your imagination, you're thinking awful things about them in your thoughts.
Sometimes, not always. And over time, it gets less and less, as I was describing.
You go to them and say, you know what? I'm sorry for being mad at you for stealing my wallet. But in your mind, you think, I can't believe this SOB stole my wallet. I'm never going to leave my wallet on the table when you come to my house again. If you have morals and values, they are not working, but how can they work if you have anger?
I mean, I say that part of why I follow them is so that I start to heal from anger.
But you're not healing from anger.
How do you know that?
Because you can't heal from it. You either overcome it or you don't. There's no such thing as healing from it.
There's a famous quote that says, the man who says it can't be done is often interrupted by the man who's doing it.
So how can you be healed from anger when anger is a spirit?
God.
What?
Through God. God's whole point is to deliver us from spirits. That's a major theme in the scriptures.
What do you mean by heal? What did you say? Heal from it?
Yeah, heal, because heal implies a wound, something unnatural, something that's not supposed to be part of you, and those spirits aren't supposed to be part of you.
So why don't you drop it right now, your anger, and be done with it, and never get angry again?
Because I'm not God. I'm not that powerful. Demon possession, for example, in the scriptures, Christ has to come and heal the demoniacs. People come and beg Christ to help them, because the idea that you can just heal yourself, that you can do everything, like, this is something that's very much against. Like,
why haven't
God
taken it from you already? You study, you know the Bible, you read different books. Why haven't he taken anger from you if you believe in him already?
Because he wants me to be humble. He wants me to participate in that
attribute.
Oh,
that's what I wanted to ask you, too. But anyone who has anger is evil. Anyone who has anger is separated from God. You remember how Christ said that before you can enter into the kingdom of heaven within, you must go and forgive, because the spirit of anger is of their father, the devil. and evil cannot enter into the kingdom. And so you said you know God. Why, how can you know him and still be angry?
Well, because it's like I said, it's a journey. I'm in the hospital. The first Christians called the church the hospital for sinners. You don't walk in the hospital and say, I want to meet a doctor. And as soon as you meet him, you say, oh, I know him. Like that's knowing someone builds over time. And I don't say, oh, I'm immediately healed. The purpose of this life is to live out repentance. That's why Christ says he who endures until the end will be saved. It's a process. Even Romans, which is directed to existing Christians, almost the whole book speaks of salvation as a future hope. The Bible speaks both ways, past and future. So this is like all relationships, it's supposed to be a journey. It's supposed to be something that you move forward in, but slowly purging anger.
But the kingdom of heaven is right here, right now, not in the past, not in the future. Why yes. can't you overcome anger right now where the kingdom is, rather than putting it off for tomorrow or prolonging it for tomorrow? Why can't you be healed right now?
The doctor's here right now. Why can't I be fixed immediately? Why can't the tumor just be gone? Because he's right in front of me.
Why can't God is right here right now. Life is right here right now. Why must you prolong or put off healing for tomorrow when tomorrow is not promised to you and you can have it right now?
We shouldn't put it off. Christ is very clear about not putting it off.
Why do you?
I'm not putting it off.
You said that you're in the hospital, and it's taking some time to do it. And why not right now?
It takes time because it takes time. Like, that's the nature of it. That's how. But that's God, why we're in time, is because it's like lifting weights. It's like asking me, you know, you're going to the gym. Why aren't you, like, super buff? Well, I just got here a week ago.
Yeah.
If I'm not lifting the weights, that's when you should go, what's going on? But if I'm lifting the weights, you know, if I'm doing the process and the changes are slowly happening, that's the only way it's ever worked.
But God is not in time. He has nothing to do with time. God is right here, right now, all the time. There is no time in him. And all things are possible right now. Satan is in time, in the past or the future or whatever, right? God has nothing to do with time. So everything can be done right now, right here. Is that true?
Well, God made time, and right. He made me inside time. And one of the key themes of Scripture is that he meets us where we're at. Like, if we're the sheep that departs, he goes out to meet us and find us. If we're human beings, God becomes a man, is incarnated, and comes out to meet us. And likewise, if I'm in time, God enters into time, not that he exits being outside of it, because he's God, that's not how it works, but he participates in time and he uses time. And in fact, ancient Christians said the whole reason God allowed time was to give us lots of chances to heal and change and repent and work on ourselves. But it's part of who we are in this life to be in time. And so it's the process addresses us as we actually are.
But God did not make time. There is no time. He did not make time. Time is an illusion. Now, we have the earthy time when we look at the clock, like I'm about to run out of time right now with you, right? And we look at that and we live in a physical way with time, but in God, there is no time. He did not create time. He doesn't live in time. That's why he tells us not to even. He tells us to stay away from time. Satan keeps you in time. God is not about time. Why do you say God created time?
I don't think he created it. I think it's a consequence of the fall.
But you said he did.
Did I? I did, I apologize. I misspoke. But he allowed time to come into existence.
But time doesn't exist at all.
Well, you can't say at all because we scheduled a time and you just admitted there's earthly time.
I just said there's earthly time we follow by, but that's not like real time. That's not lifetime.
Sure. But then you can't say at all.
God did not create, man created the earthly time that we have to be at work and do all that. But God never created time. He's always right here, right now, and right now is no time. It just is. But Thaddeus, there, I need you to be quiet. Don't talk to me anymore. I want you to talk to the callers because of time, all right? Let me go to Bob out of Illinois. Bob, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. Thank you. Yeah.
Are you on the speaker, Bob?
Let me look.
Hold on, Bob, while you're doing that. I'll have time. Yeah, let me know. I thought Bob thought. Okay. Bob is not ready, Thaddeus, so I can't get to him. What? There are some. Hey, do you have some super chats for my guest? I can't do a hate not here. Why are you telling me? My producer's talking to me in my headset here. That is. So, real fast, hey.
Okay.
I don't see what you're talking about. They tried to show me where they are, but I'm black and slow. And the white man tried to show me. You know how white people are, right?
Yes. Do it all I can.
Do you love white people? That is.
Well, yes, of course.
Amazing.
A couple of super chats are asking.
Ask.
Thaddeus. If God allows us, or if God allows Thaddeus to struggle.
Yes, he does.
Okay.
And then another super chat, a third super chat. Thoughts on Trump? From Mike Young.
What do you think about the great white hope?
Okay, we're switching from the one topic you don't talk about that I love to the other topic you don't talk about. I like Trump. I think seeing a lot of the stuff he's done this presidency, I've really, really valued some of the things he's, corruption he's revealing, et cetera. Overall, I would say I'm a big fan. I mean, I've got little issues here and there, but that's pretty much, I mean, every president ever. So, but overall, he's a pretty good one.
Did you know I call him the Great White Hope?
I think I heard that once.
Amazing, huh?
Yeah.
I know if you don't want to answer this, you can. You don't have to. Did you vote for the Great White Hope?
That I did.
Right on.
Tomorrow they will say Donald Trump rants and raves at the press. I'm not ranting and raving. I'm just telling you. You know, you're dishonest people.
The Great White Hope. Amazing. One other, James.
Yeah, one more question from the producer. Flat Earth or Ball Earth?
Ooh. Now you've put me on the spot.
Let's see are you a real Christian?
Yeah, I embrace the flat earth language. I think it also might be a ball earth, so.
Based.
Nice. Amazing. Well.
Bob is ready.
Let me see, can I squeeze Bob in here really fast? Bob, yes. You have a minute or two, and go ahead.
Okay. It's about the Jesus is God thing. Just some comments. When the scriptures talk about the word that was with God and word was God, the word is something that we speak or something that we plan that's within us. And Jesus was God's plan from the onset, and he became flesh in the fullness of time. So that was God's plan. It doesn't mean that Jesus is God. Jesus never said he was God. He said, but rather that God is in him and works through him. The Trinity is a philosophical construct. It's something you got to learn through human thoughts. The early church fathers were not in the scripture. Even Polycarp, though, he was one of the first ones for sure.
Let me tell you this because of time. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
To cut
you just
off.
Some comments. Yeah.
I appreciate
you can comment
Thaddeus,
on
Thaddeus, thank you so much, man. What's your website again?
ThaddeusThought.com.
That was amazing, man. Thank you. We're going to have you back.
Awesome. I'd love to be on again.
All right. Thank you, buddy. I got to take a break. 888-77-JESSE when I come back to your calls. Back in a moment. Steve, thank you for calling and thanks for holding. How have you been helped by the show?
I'm going to tell you this. I believe you might go down in history as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, black man that ever lived on planet Earth, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know anybody before you that's been that great. You know, freeing slaves is one thing, but you've been freeing people of their mind, which matters, it should be anyhow, to you more than anything else, because with the mind not being right, there ain't nothing else going to happen right anyway.
If you can doubt every thought, because you're not your thoughts, if you can doubt every thought, knowing that you're not your thoughts, you don't create them, they're not from God, that they're from the deceiver, the great deceiver, Satan. If you can doubt every thought, you can be free, just like that, at an instant. Bring every thought into captivity. It's so amazing. I enjoyed that conversation with Thaddeus Patrick. Check him out, all right? Check him out. Couple announcements. Check out our merch. Amazing merch. Father's Day is coming up, and the merch are going through, just falling out of the window for Dad or Father, whatever you call him. Check it out. T-shirts and mugs and hats and all kind of good things for your father. He's going to love it. He's going to love the hats. All right? And the mugs. When she cries, she's lying. I was just asked Thaddeus about that. When she cries, she's lying. All kind of good things. Also, Punch's coffee right there, too. Your daddy opened up his gift, and there's a nice T-shirt or hat. And then the coffee, too. You're going to be like, oh, Lord. My children love me. He's going to love the Punchy Coffee. So go to rebuildingtheman.com/stores. rebuildingtheman.com/stores or jesseleepeterson.shop. jesseleepeterson.shop. All right? And every dime goes back into our work to get this work done. So when you buying the coffee and all that, you're helping us get the work done while enjoying your shirts and hats and coffee. And don't forget, there's a special going for the shout-outs for your fathers, for dad. All right? Personal shout-outs. And it's going to last until June 6th at 10 p.m. Pacific time. Go to Cameo, C-A-M-E-O. .com/Jesse Lee Peterson and get our newsletter. We put them out. We send them out like every 3 months, I believe, or so, give or take. And so we just put out a newsletter. You can get that free at no cost. Go to rebuildingtheman.com, rebuildingtheman.com, or call 800-411-BOND, 800-411-2663. And hey, send me a copy of the newsletter. JLP's newsletter. All right? Oh, amazing. Let me go to Jude, a first-time caller out of Utah. Jude, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Jesse.
Hey, Jude.
Oh, I just come here to recommend a song.
To recommend a song?
Yeah, just to recommend a song.
Okay, what's the song?
It's a band called Slayer. Slayer. Okay. The band's called Slayer.
Nice.
And the song is South of Heaven.
South of Heaven?
Yes, yeah, South of Heaven. My dad says it's similar to what you talk about, the song is.
Okay. Are you? How old are you?
14.
Oh, you're 14. Can you send that to my producer? Or you can hold on and I can let him write it down now because I don't want to forget it and I want to check it out.
Yeah, I'd rather hold on and just have him write it down.
Yeah, okay. I appreciate that. I'm going to listen to it and I'll comment on it once I hear it. I'm going to comment on it on the show, all right?
Okay, thanks.
I appreciate that, buddy. Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right, thanks.
I appreciate it, buddy. Okay, hold on. Hold on. Derek, write down that song so I can check it out. What? No. Let me go to first-time caller Charlie out of Texas. Charlie, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, Jesse. It's really good to talk to you. I've been listening to you for years.
Thank you.
I have a question. Does God make plans?
No. God does not make plans, and neither should you. Unless you're making a practical plan, like you want to go to, like White History coming up, right? And you want to go down to Florida to celebrate White History in July. So you make the plan, you order your flight, you do all that. But other than that, you should have no plans.
Does the devil make plans?
All the time.
And I want to know what that bluegrass song is on Country Western Tuesdays where he talks about perfect peace. I've looked all over the internet and I can't find it. And I just remember the first line is all my thoughts. It's a guy with acoustic guitar.
Oh, all my thoughts from Pete from Alaska, right?
Yep.
That's who you refer?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Pete from Alaska. Online. But it's not available yet. He's working on that. And several people want to get it. But right now, Pete has not published it so people can get it yet.
Okay, great. And I also wanted to thank you. Sorry. I was listening to you when I was drinking, and when I listened to your fellowship about being double-minded, it helped me to stop because I couldn't listen while I was drinking anymore.
Yep.
So I had to pick one or the other. And I haven't drank in over a month, and it really helped me, and I want to thank you.
That's amazing. You stay with it, stay with it, stay with it.
Yes, sir.
Have you dropped your anger yet?
No.
And why not?
I want to. I forgave my mother and father, and I apologize to my kids. And I got angry last weekend, and after I thought that I had dropped it, and I think the reason why is because I'm evil, and I need to overcome it.
Right on. Here's what I suggest. Do what you want, but here's what I suggest. If you, from this point forward, never call anger you again, you'll be aware of it. If it should come, the thought and the feeling should come. You be aware of them, but do not call them you at all. They're spirits. They're not you. And I promise you, they will be taken away from you.
Okay.
Don't run away from it. Don't fight it. Don't deny it. Just see it. And it will be taken away from you. And then situations will happen in your life, and you will never even think about it or feel it. It will not affect you at all, no matter what happens. But stop calling it you if it does pop up.
Okay. I'll do that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for everything.
You're welcome, Charlie. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. Amazing. 888-7753-773. Let me go to Beth out of Kansas. Beth, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you, Jesse.
You're welcome.
It's a real privilege to get to talk to you.
Are you a first-time caller?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, this is actually my third time getting the call.
Well, okay, welcome back. Go ahead.
I've noticed that morals are just judgments.
Absolutely.
And it's so surprising to me as to how many times I want to become my own God and make my own rules and then make everybody else obey those rules. And it's just, it's so, it gets clearer the less I react or the less that I do.
That's amazing, Beth, and you're absolutely right about that. That's the truth. And if you stay with it and just watch and see what's going on inside of you, it will become clearer and clearer and clearer.
I worry about the anger that I have.
Yes.
And how quick I want to control things. And I listened to that, the one lady that said that she just started with the silent prayer and would just like, it would do just like as many times or as constant. But this stuff is just tricky because I'll think that things are grand and I'm doing okay. And then all of a sudden, like I had an argument with a lady over a $2 fee that I didn't think I needed to pay. I mean, it was just $2. And there was, you know, and yeah. I'm like, I'm walking out of the door and I'm like, oh no, it's not dead yet.
And,
you know,
here's what don't ever think that you made it, because thinking that you made it is a sign of not making it. When you really become one with the Father, all thinking disappear. And the only thing you will think about is practical things, how to work, how to make breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know, basic things like that. But when you're one with the Father, all thinking disappear, and you start to live by knowing and not by thinking. So when you feel good, don't let the devil tell you, oh, yeah, Beth, you have made it. That's not true.
Okay.
Just let that thought pass, and eventually all thoughts will disappear. Weak human beings think. Free human beings know. They live by wisdom, not by thinking.
And so I've always manipulated things.
Yep.
Because I've always been worried about the future, because like being a mom or being a person that takes care of other people, I always think, well, if I don't think ahead, then they're going to be harmed because I'm not thinking ahead as to what they need or me, you know, making sure that they've got what they need or that kind of thing.
Right.
And so it's okay to just be like, no, it's not my job to take care of them, or.
Right. It's not your job.
It's not my job.
And when you're thinking ahead, where is ahead?
Yeah, yeah.
No, that was a question.
It ain't here. Yeah, it ain't here.
You're living an illusion.
Yeah.
There is no ahead. There is no future. There is no past. All you have is right now. And right now is sufficient for you.
All right.
And stop taking care of people. You're hurting them by not letting them take care of themselves. Unless you have a job and your job is to help somebody out, you get paid. But at the end of the day, leave them by themselves.
Yeah. Okay.
And don't be afraid of fear or anger. Just be aware of it and don't call it you.
All righty. Okay. Yep. Okay.
I love how you argue with someone over $2 and then you realize and then you realize later how silly that was. That is you realize later because you're working on yourself, you can see. Most people would not have realized later that they were wrong for arguing over $2. It didn't make sense. But yeah, because okay, you're working on yourself, you have some light guiding you right now. You're doing fine.
Okay. All righty. Well, I can't thank you enough because my life has leveled out tremendously.
Right on.
Because otherwise you just get addicted to being high on whatever you just did and then being low on whatever you just did, and you're just like bouncing up and down, and it ain't no fun.
That's sure. Right. And the reason it's not fun is because it's evil, and there's no peace in evil. And anyone that has anger is evil, and their lives are up and down. They feel good about this. They feel bad about that. They're afraid of this. They feel brave with this. Their lives are up and down because there is no foundation in that. Their houses are being built on sand and not a solid foundation.
Got it. Okay. All right. Well, I love you guys, and oh, goodness. Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. And you guys have been, oh, my goodness, pulling me out of hell and
right
making
on.
Me face it. And so, and it's just amazing.
Amazing.
Everything that you say resonates. It's like, oh, my goodness, that's true. And so,
right,
especially
on.
When it's you, when you started with women are evil, it was like, oh, my gosh, I am so evil, you know?
And like, what
and, right and before it was I was like pointing at my mother saying she's so evil.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it was like, and you know, the poor woman, she, gosh, that wasn't her fault,
right?
She didn't stand a chance. She didn't grow up with a dad,
right?
So she didn't stand a chance.
Amazing.
Not even a chance, you know?
Absolutely.
So, okay, all right.
Will
and
say,
and please tell Hake again that the earth is flat in Kansas.
he can hear you right now. He's right here.
Okay.
What do you want to say about that, Hake?
Right.
That's why my Kansas callers are flat earthers.
Right? That's a fact. Okay. All right. Thanks so much, you guys. All right.
We love you, Beth, and you stay with us, stay with us, stay with it, all right?
All right. All right. I will.
All
thank
right.
you.
All
thank
right.
you.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Super Chat.
Super chats.
Grooving
on a Sunday afternoon.
Mastiff.
Really?
Five coffees.
Couldn't get away too soon.
Love everything y'all do.
I can't imagine. Amazing. Thank you.
I'm waking up more and more each day. Just when you think it's all is going smoothly, Satan tries another clever mind trick to put you back to sleep. Sometimes I get caught up for a bit, catch it, and say, nice try, loser. You're an illegal immigrant in my mind. You got to go back where you came from.
There you go.
God bless you all. P.S. Sent you guys an email for an interview suggestion.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And you stay with us, stay with us, stay with us. And when you think that you're making it or you made it, that's evil thinking. That's not you thinking. There's another deceiving thought. All thoughts are all lies all the time about anything. Amazing. Thank you.
Someone bought a coffee. Hello, team. Biblical question.
What would happen if you neither agree nor disagree with others?
Are you saying just shut up and listen with no opinion instead of agreeing or disagreeing?
No, it's a question. Thank you. I'll put my 2 cents in on Sunday.
That was on buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk. Winston on YouTube. Good morning. How are you? Amazing.
Amazing. Thank you, Winston. How are you?
Bond JLP is cash. The Cash App sign tag. Anthony says, don't know much about history. Don't. Geography.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much about psychology. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be. You heard that song?
Objectively his best song.
Who, that man?
Mm-hmm.
Who was it?
Sam Cooke.
Oh, sure. Oh, you? Part black.
Well, that's only because I've been listening to you since when you were playing Copyrighted songs on the bumpers.
Amazing.
But nice.
Thank you. Amazing.
Anthony on Cash App, don't have much to say.
Right on. Be slow to speak and quick to hear. Thank you.
Charles on Cash App. Does God plan? Thanks, Jesse.
No, he does not.
You must be the guy who called.
Yeah, sound like it. Thank you, Charles.
Mark on Buy Me a Coffee. Special birthday shout out to Mari, my sister. Safe travels, strong arm, heart. Thanks. Idea.
Amazing. Happy birthday.
Someone bought three coffees. Yeah, happy birthday, Mari.
Yeah.
Someone bought three coffees. Do you ever have dreams or nightmares after being born again?
Yeah. For a while, until you overcome falling into unconsciousness when you're sleeping. And if you stay with it, you will go to sleep in a state of awareness, and you will sleep like a baby all the way through the night. The nightmares will disappear. And when the anger disappears, the nightmare will disappear. Absolutely.
Pastor Chatelet with a Rumble rant. That's Jesse Lee Peterson on Rumble. Uncle Jesse, how much beta are you sensing in Thad Poll?
Rumble, you gotta know how to rumble. In what?
Thaddeus, the guest.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't pay attention to that. What the? Thank you, though. I didn't pay attention to that.
When Mad Chameleon, also on Rumble with a very generous Rumble rant, says thank you.
Thank you.
George, WWWTB, where we want to be.
Amazing. Thank you.
That's on Cash App. JV the Great, ask him if God allows us to struggle. We asked that. Thank you, sir.
Right.
Tyrant, Sorter's Rec.
Thank you.
Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning, Taro.
Aaron G had that
Taro,
question.
Taro, right?
Tyrant.
Good morning.
Aaron G also had that question for Thaddeus. Does God allow you to suffer? Thank you, sir.
Right on.
And Mike Young had asked about the thoughts on Trump. It's a payday, says Gregatron. Shout out to all the good people y'all done. Y'all better donate to the Great Black Hopes Little Network.
Mommy, hi, your little network. Go to rebuildingdemand.com/donate or call 800-411-BOND.
Thank you, Gregatron.
Let me do this because of time.
Okay.
Thank you all. We'll come back to the Super Chat. Time going by fast. I want to get to Rick out of Virginia. Let's see here. Rick, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
I'll get him as soon as I can.
Lord.
Poor Rick.
Hey, Jesse, what's going on with you?
All is well, Rick.
Jesse.
What?
Man, I tell you, Jesse, man, I wanted to talk to that guest you had. You know what? I hear people argue about the Trinity all the time.
Yes.
And my thing is, I have read, too, that God says, I do my Father's mission.
Yeah.
So that tells me that he's not God.
Right, said, yeah, Christ said that. I the work that I do is because of my Father, not me. Something like that.
Yes, and I have seen Christians get into physical fight over the Trinity. Look, I don't. I mean, I tell the Trinity.
Rick, can you hold one?
Huh? Okay. Go ahead, Jesse. Do your thing.
All right. If you can, you can hear. Hold on. Another hour to go. Right, I got to take a break. The hate news, not the fake news, is coming up right now. And I'll be back in a moment. 888-77-JESSE.
You know, I'm 32 years old now, and I've been clinically depressed since I was 17 years old. And ever since I started listening to you a couple of months ago, bro, I don't even need to hear the word depression. I don't even care about that because that's not anything that I identify with anymore.
Nice.
I'm 100% cured. I'm 100% better because I've been listening to the Jesse Lee Peterson show, and I can't even begin to tell you how much I appreciate you. And I just can't even, you know, begin to tell you how much I really appreciate the things that you're doing for young men. Young men need to hear this, and young men need to know this message that you're delivering because it's important. It's vital to their lives, Jesse. I just wanted to let you know that, man.
That's amazing. I mean, you made my day, man. When I hear one soul has returned to the Father, it's like 1,000. It's better than silver and gold. So God bless you, man.
It's a mysterious mess going on in the world. This is the end of hour two already of the Jason Lee Peterson Show. It is Bible Thumper Thursday, June 5th, AD 2025. There is one line open. You can call in right now during Hake News, Not Fake News. And JLP will be right back to your calls. We'll get to the rest of your Super Chats, hopefully, and more great stories, or some great stories, right? It is Hake News, Not Fake News. After the Jason Lee Peterson Show, thehakereport.com. That's my show. I'm live for 2 hours right after Jesse Lee, every day, Monday through Friday. And then Joel Friday TV. Today is his last day of the week streaming, because he doesn't stream on Fridays. And then American Anchor Baby after Joel. Nice. And then tonight, Men's Forum, fellas, for the men only. Or if you don't feel like a man, but you are a guy, you're a male, then you are welcome to join us. You're welcome to join us. RebuildingTheMan.com/events. Commie Nonsense Network, CNN reports earlier today in the Israel and Gaza situation, the bodies of two Israeli-American dual citizen, I guess, hostages who were kidnapped by Hamas returned to Israel. Their bodies were returned. Judy Weinstein-Haggai, age 70, 70 years old, and Gadi Haggai, age 72, Gadi, G-A-D-I. Perhaps they were a married couple because they have the same similar last name. I don't know. Haggai. They were killed near their home in Kibbutz Neir Oz during the Hamas attack on southern Israel, October 7th, 2023. Their remains recovered during a military operation, not surrendered by Hamas, apparently. President Trump, our greatest president, continued his feud with the so-called Ivy League schools, brainwashing institutions, on Wednesday, signing a proclamation to suspend international visas for new students at Harvard University. The move came after a so-called federal judge ordered the Trump administration not to make any changes to Harvard's international student visa program indefinitely. The administration has demanded Harvard change their hiring and admission requirements, eliminate DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, communism programs, and alter rules for on-campus degenerate protests, right? But the schools resisted those orders because they are satanic, and they filed a lawsuit claiming the government's actions violate the First Amendment, which just means they want free money, continued free money from the government. Harvard wasn't the only target of the Trump administration's ire Wednesday. The Department of So-Called Education also threatened Columbia University's accreditation for tolerating, allegedly, anti-Semitism. All one word, no hyphen, to make it seem real, on campus. Accreditation needed for students to gain access, communist buzzword, to federal money, grants, loans. Columbia said they were aware of the concerns raised and had already addressed them. Whatever. A manhunt is underway for a person suspected of committing a triple homicide. Wow. Authorities searching for Travis Decker, 32 years old, former Army soldier, extensive training, wanted for kidnapping and murder of his children. I don't know. Last Friday, the mother of his three daughters, ages 9, 8, and 5, reported that this Decker guy, Travis Decker, had not returned them following a planned visit. His pickup truck discovered unoccupied Monday near a campground near Leavenworth, Washington. The girl's body is found about 75 to 100 yards away from that vehicle. Seattle Times reported that. A reward up to $20,000 offered for information leading to that Travis Decker guy's arrest. Innocent unless proven guilty, but it's a big mess. Oil spill, an estimated 2,000 gallons of dyed diesel, D-Y-E-D, meaning colored, I guess, right? Dyed diesel, stained part of Baltimore's waterfront red. Wow. Baltimore's waterfront is red now with blood because Baltimore is full of murder. Maryland Governor Wes Moore and Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott. Remember that guy? Brandon M. Scott, just joke of a mayor. Ridiculous black radical. They're talking about the fuel originating at Johns Hopkins Hospital facility in East Baltimore. Whatever. I'm James Hake. Now back to the J.C. Lee Peterson Show.
got to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the third hour of the show today. Already, you can get involved by calling 888-7753-773. 888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question: what will happen if you neither agree nor disagree with others? What will happen if you neither agreed nor disagree with others? And if you're running around, you can podcast the shows, but you could be listening to the show as you're doing whatever you're doing on your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line on Talk Stream Live at 605-615-4131, 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee, buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk, buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk, or bond JLP Cash App, bond JLP Cash App. It's Thursday, and every Thursday is, because we love the Bible Thumpers, every Thursday is Bible Thumper Thursday.
Oh, God, are you ready? Are you ready? I don't feel your faith. Are you
ready?
Oh,
God. Hallelujah. Fire. Fire! Bible Thumper Thursday. Before I go to the call, back to Rick and then the rest of the callers, I always talk about thoughts. And I always tell you that all thoughts, well, all lies, all the time, about anything. And when you're in your thoughts, you're not seeing clearly at all. Even though you think you are, you may have even heard about thoughts being lies. Now you think you're in your, that you can see, you can't. If you think you can, you can't. Your thoughts are not God's thoughts. Your ways, my ways, or no one's ways is that of God. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." This is the word. I'm not making this up. "For your thoughts are not my thoughts, nor are your ways my ways." Your ways are not God's way, right? "Nor are your ways my way, declare God. For as the heaven are high than the earth, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." All thoughts, folks, are all lies all the time. And those thoughts that you believe are yours are causing you to do and say things that you would not do or think on your own. Isn't that amazing? Here's an example of that. A good example, too, from WXYZ. a Dearborn Heights woman is recovering in the hospital after being shot multiple times when her ex-boyfriend allegedly broke into her home with an AR-15 rifle. Watch this from Fox to Detroit.
When the screen door, he just started shooting his gun, his AR-15. It was just shots everywhere.
It was Sunday morning, May 18th. Darshell Evans was getting ready to make breakfast for herself and her fiance when she says her ex-boyfriend walked into the house. Evans lives on Waddell Street in Dearborn Heights.
He just came in shooting. He didn't say anything. He didn't have any words. He just came in. Blazing. Gunfire. That's all I've seen is gunfire.
Evans' fiance is shot in the leg and yet is able to run away. But Evans is shot several times.
He was trying to shoot me in my head, and then I blocked it with my right hand, which caused an amputation of my right hand. And once he did that, I had to play like I was dead just so he would stop shooting.
Later that afternoon in Detroit, police arrested Evans' ex-boyfriend, Ashante Linelli Ramon McAfee.
He just wanted me back. He was just like one of those type of people, like, if I can't have you, nobody can have you.
If I can't have you, I don't want nobody, baby. If I can't have you, no. If I can't have you, I don't want nobody, baby. Have you ever felt that way? If I can't have you, nobody gonna have you. That came from thoughts, which were not his own. And that was not love that he was feeling at all. That was hate, being called love. Because if you truly had real love, if someone don't want to be with you, even if you've been together 1,000 years or 1 hour, they don't want to be with you. You're like, oh, okay, bye. You will feel nothing about it. No loss, no gain. That's not love. That's hate. Nobody loved nobody. Isn't that amazing? The woman says during the 6 years they were together, she never heard him, never had to call the police on her ex.
And in the 6 years they were together,
you know, maybe like a push or a shove or something like that, but never to the point where I had to call the police on them.
Evans isn't sure when she'll be getting out of the hospital. Eventually, she'll be getting a prosthetic hand and will have to learn how to navigate life with it.
I just take it one day at a time. That's all I can do is take it one day at a time. And I still have nightmares. I still have flashbacks. I just take it one day at a time. That's all I can do.
The woman now has a pathetic hand. What the? All because of love. What love got to do with it? It has nothing to do with love. Love is not real love. It's not an emotion. Emotional love is evil. It is pure evil, and it's all about self. It has nothing to do with the other person. Zero. Isn't that amazing? That's what thoughts would do for you. So I want to know, and then I get to Rick. Is Elon Musk mad at Trump? Or is he disappointed that he did all this work to cut down on spending in the government? And then the legislators on Trump's beautiful bill? They don't want to pass it in the right way. And it sounded like in the bill they would be spending more than what Elon thought they should. And Elon is complaining about it. I'm not sure if Elon is mad at the president or disappointed at the president, or is he disappointed that at the government they won't do the right thing. The Republicans and the Democrats. What do y'all think about that? This is from AP. Tech billionaire Elon Musk blasted Donald Trump big, beautiful bill of tax cuts and spending plan just days after departing the administration. Here's the first soundbite on that from ABC 7.
Michelle, this sure felt a lot like a day from President Trump's first term. Several big controversial stories breaking one after another, including another travel ban.
We don't want them.
Late today, in a throwback to his first term, President Trump issuing a travel ban to citizens of 12 countries, mostly in the Middle East and Africa, citing the recent anti-Semitic terror attack in Boulder, Colorado, by an Egyptian national who overstayed his visa, the president banning travel from Afghanistan, Iran, Libya, Yemen, Somalia, Sudan, Chad, the Republic of Congo, Equatorial Guinea, Eritrea, Myanmar, and also Haiti.
We will not allow people to enter our country who wish to do us harm, and nothing will stop us from keeping America safe.
This comes as the president is battling to get his budget bill through the Senate. The bill, which gives massive tax breaks to the rich while kicking millions of poor Americans off Medicaid, poor children off food assistance, and may blow up the deficit so badly that Medicare would face mandatory cuts as well, passed through the House last month.
I can't in good conscience give up every principle that I stand for and every principle that I was elected upon, and that's that you can't accumulate more debt.
Amazing. I love the fact that the president, the great white hope, worked for America, not against America. What other president would ban these people from coming into our country and killing us? The Democrats clearly would not do that. The right or Republicans won't do it. The president is doing it. Isn't that amazing? You better be thankful. I want to thank you for letting me be myself again. Amazing. He has another chance to make America great again. Elon, and I just love the band. Right on. Don't just let these people come into our country and shout Allahu Akbar or death to America and death to Israel. What the? And then burn our flag while raising Allahu Akbar flag. What kind of sense does that make? In America. Don't bring that mess over here. Thank you, Mr. President. I am grateful. Elon criticism of the big, beautiful bill. Watch this.
Not helping matters is the criticism from Elon Musk. It was just last week that Musk was given a golden key to the White House for his efforts leading Doge, slashing people, programs, and money from the government. But that was then. This is now. The world's richest man has spent the last 24 hours trashing the bill yesterday, calling it a disgusting abomination, and all day today retweeting dozens of posts in an effort to kill the bill.
Why wasn't he talking about this before the bill, right? And that's what frustrates me. Hey, if you're going to be in this fight when we need you, because we needed him.
President Trump hasn't publicly responded to Musk's flip-flop, but he's clearly not happy with it.
He's not delighted that Elon did a 180 on that, but... Look, I don't know what happened in 24 hours. Everybody can draw their own conclusions about that.
Yeah, I don't either. I do know that the president at one point said that he couldn't get everything he wanted in this bill, so he kind of chipping away at it. You know, he getting some of the things he want in his first time around, and then in the next bill, he'll get more and more, right? And so I don't know if Elon... I don't even know if he's mad or not, to be honest. But I don't know if he's mad at the president or he's mad. I don't know if he's mad, period, but he's disappointed at the workers, the representatives. And I know that the liberals are glad to hear this. And they think that this is a split between the president and Elon. They're now fighting, and that's what they want. The devil wanted, right? And so they love this idea that Elon and the great white hope is fighting or appears to be fighting. Appears. So I don't know at this point. I am waiting and seeing. That's why you got to drop the anger. You don't have to. You can live in your hell. But if you want to be free, you deal with life without being mad or turning on each other and all that kind of mess. Drop the anger. you can speak up without being angry. One last thing. The this is interesting. It's Bible Thump on Thursday, right? The NBC Miami, this is from NBC Miami. I guess this guy is Bible thumping while being arrested. In a moment caught on a video, the Volusia County Sheriff confronted a man who allegedly sent him death threats from across the country once he was brought to Florida to face justice. This guy was caught. And the man, the Daily Mail has reported that the man sent the sheriff an unhinged email accusing him of proliferating AI child porn. After the sheriff threatened to publish delinquent children mugshots on court document state. Watch this for NBC. You'll see what I mean, Miami.
Why do you want me dead?
I am a Christian.
So am I.
All I can do is to know you are.
So am I.
You are not.
How do you know that?
Because in Corinthians it says.
Matthew, I'm Sheriff Chitwood. I'm the guy you want to kill. And there's nothing I can do about it. Challenge accepted.
I sent you a sermon. It was from Romans chapter 5, 6 mm-hmm. and 7.
But you do know in Florida, a written threat to kill is a felony. You know that. Well, look, just so you know, I'm the one who made sure you came back. And I hope you enjoy your stay at the branch jail.
You violated
my federal rights. I will also tell you that you will not see Mickey Mouse on this trip. And you have to reimburse us for your flight here and for your stay at the county jail. Why don't you look me in the eye and tell me why you want me dead? Why do you want me dead?
I am a Christian.
So am I.
All I can do is to know you are.
So am I.
You are not a Christian.
How do you know that?
Because in Corinthians it says bondsmen are not Christian.
Okay. Well, we're going to take you.
You are not Christian.
We're going to take you where you need to go.
Fine.
We will make sure the cell has rubber in it.
Bible Thump on Thursday. What the? Amazing, huh? And one last one. Here's a video of a father being yelled at by his mother, by the mother of his children, over Father's Day gift. He, over Father's Day gift, he returned to the store. Watch this from TikTok. This is amazing.
I could have been the one. I could have been beating you. I could have been doing all the bad shit. I could have been the perfect little angel and then still have to escort you because the army can't touch me. Where's my f***ing chair?
Well, that chair was a gift.
It was not a gift.
You said it was from
it
my
is
father.
My f***ing chair! I want my f***ing chair back!
You said it
Where was... is my f***ing chair?
I took it to the barracks.
Give me my chair back, Ethan! You f***ing stole it, you son of a bitch! No. I have the receipts for it!
That's fine. You gave it to me as a gift for
it
father.
It is not
chair.
For you! It is mine! Everything I bought that I paid for is f***ing mine! Give it back!
But it was a gift. You gave it to me for
it
Father's Day.
It is not
Day.
A f***ing gift!
I'm sorry, it's my chair. I'm gonna use
I
it.
Will, I have the receipt for it. I have everything for it. I even have text messages of me telling Kate and everybody how much you hated it. How much you don't like it. You stole my f***ing chair. You stole my f***ing chair, you f***ing son of a f***ing. Go get my chair.
Whoa.
You're not seeing the kids.
You're not seeing the
really?
Kids.
Really?
Yeah, give me my chair. You're not seeing the kids.
No, don't take the kids from me.
Go get my chair right now. Go get it.
Please don't.
Bring me my chair in perfect condition.
Lord, all I want is to see my kids.
Amazing, huh? How would you like to be married to that one? And this is commonplace in today's America where these women... so evil, they keep the children away from their fathers. Isn't that amazing? How would you like to be married to that? And she, according to the report, she is ticked because this man didn't like the chair that they gave him for Father's Day. And he took it back. Talk about ego. If it's for him, what's she mad about? It's not like it for her. All thoughts, all lies, all the time. About anything. Let me go back to Rick. out of Hampton, Virginia. Rick, thanks for holding.
Man, no problem, Jerry. Thanks for being patient with me, too, man. I know I was waiting for you yesterday, man, and, I had to leave yesterday, but I apologize for that, man. I love to talk on your show, man, and all you guys' shows, man.
Right on.
But I was going to ask you about the same thing, man. I think Elon, what's going on with Elon, I believe, is that he come in here and do Doge and find out his ways, and then he believes President Trump is spending more money. I think that's his issue.
I don't. I'm waiting to hear more. I'm really waiting to hear more information about it from Elon and Trump. And it sounds like, based on what Trump said, that he tried to make this big, beautiful bill more, enhance this bill to save money, but he knew mm-hmm. he wasn't going to get it through. And so he's chipping away at it. And that makes sense. With the government, these people are so evil, they're not going to do the right thing right away. So you have to chip away at it. That's the impression I have. So I don't know what Elon is thinking about this. I know that he's disappointed that the government is not, the representative not helping to get, spending costs down. That's for sure. But
and
I don't know how you feel about Trump.
I'm sorry. Okay, Jesse.
I don't know how you feel.
You know, I just hope, and liberals are having a good day. See, they fell out now because he got all his investments what he wanted. You know, Jesse, if I'm wrong for this, please. When it comes to liberals, I have talking to especially mostly black pastors. They with the Democratic Party. And I always ask them this question. Okay, you know the Democratic Party stands for transgenders, your kids telling you you're going to get a sex change without telling you, same-sex marriage. All that's not a God, but you support it. And they get the fussing and screaming, Jesse. So I decided I'm going to let them suffer.
That's all you can do.
That's wrong. That's not a bad attitude to have toward them, correct?
Yeah. Leave people in the hell. Don't feel sad for them. Don't feel bad.
Correct.
Don't be mad. Don't try to bring them out of their hell. Leave them in their hell. They don't want out.
Yep. That's the way I feel. And when you argue with them, it's like it's unending. They can they are still talking about terrorists. He's making stuff high. You guys wasn't crying about stuff when Biden made them high. Y'all crying because
high.
The media is hyping y'all up. You know, just the media just, you got people hating Trump. They don't even know why they hate the man besides what the media tells them.
Well, they hate him because the darkness in them hate the light in Donald Trump. That's what the real deal is.
I believe that, too. And I also believe that the media goes out their way to make people hate Trump.
Absolutely.
100%. That's what I truly believe. They go out their way to make people hate Trump, and then they don't even know why they hate him.
Yeah.
They go up there and talking about, and I will always ask them, Jesse, okay, if y'all don't want them to put tariffs on, so y'all want us to continue letting countries rip us off and take advantage of us and put tariffs on our items? I mean, what is your suggestion?
Absolutely.
That's what I always ask them. And they never have a solution. That
yep.
tells me they're in it emotionally.
And if you're black, it's their way. And if you're white, it's their way.
And believe it or not, Jess, you have a lot of white pastors with the Democratic Party as well.
Of course. Absolutely.
Rick,
I got to run because of
black.
Time.
Oh, okay, Jess. I didn't mean to try to take up this whole show, man.
No, I appreciate
thanks for taking my call, man.
Absolutely.
And everybody and their mama. You listen to the Jesse Lee Peterson Show for Knowledge Today, brother.
That's right. And if you're white, is everybody their mama? If you're black, is everybody their mama?
Jesse, you wild, man. You wild, man. But anyway, I love you guys, man. Y'all be blessed. And I'll try and call in tomorrow.
All right, buddy.
Y'all getting popular, man, because it's getting harder to get into y'all shows, man. That's a good sign. It means more people are listening for knowledge.
Amazing. Thank you, Rick.
Yes, sir.
Amazing. 888-7753-773. Let me go to first time caller out of Florida. Yudi, I believe. Is it Yudi?
Yes.
You're on the air, Yudi.
Yes. Hi, I'm Yudi, and I was calling to see, okay, I've been listening to you for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Okay, I apologize to my mom. She's dead.
She's dead.
I apologize to my... Yeah, she's dead. It took me a while to be like, she's dead, because I love her so much. But I didn't know, you know, women are for the devil.
Yes.
But, yeah. Oh, I kind of lost my train. Okay, I apologize to my parents. I apologize to my siblings a little bit, and I went back to trying to journal, right? So now I'm stuck, like, who's journaling? Is it me?
I'll let you use an Biden pen. If I'll let you use the electric pen, it's you. You can't tell that you're writing?
Yeah, I know, but you said don't trust the thought.
Right.
If I'm using my thoughts to write down on the paper, who's writing?
That's,
is it me or that entity?
That's a talent that God has given you, the practical talents that God has given you to think about what you want to write. But once you're done with the writing, you don't live by the writing, right? When you put the pen down, you're done with that, right?
Yes.
So that's practical. That's fine. God gave you the ability to take care of yourself on earth. But
yes,
you don't live by that.
If I don't live by that?
You don't live by the pen, do you?
No. These people say, oh, I might be crazy. They tried to give me medication. They told me that the only cheap thing I heard them say is to journal. So journaling is supposed to help me.
Is it helping you?
I just started because I can't trust the thoughts in my head because I don't know who's talking and I want to leave, but you can't leave unless, you know, you kill yourself, right?
You can't leave where?
My mind.
You live in your mind?
I think so. I don't talk to people.
You don't talk to anyone?
No, not even people. I work at the U.S. Post Office, and I don't even talk to people there.
Are you crazy?
No, because I can still pay my rent and take care of my kids.
How old are you?
39.
How much?
39.
Why you don't talk to anyone at work?
Because I think I'm antisocial. I think I'm just... I've been married for a while, and I've only been around my kids. So now I'm getting a divorce for a second time. I'm getting a divorce for a second time. And when I've been home, I've only been around my kids. So now I don't really speak to people.
Oh, so you were married, and when you were married, you didn't go to work or anything?
No.
You were just around your children?
Yeah, and my mom, because, you know, I always had to take care of her because she always sick, diabetes and all that stuff. And so, yeah, it was just me, my mom, and my kids. And my husband at the time was a truck driver, so I'm always home by myself.
And why didn't your mother husband take care of her? Why did you have to do that?
Because my daddy, he left when I was 15. He's a preacher. He left when I was 15.
Do you know who he is?
Yeah, I know who he is. I talk to him all the time. And I told you I recently called him to try to, but I've apologized to him years ago. And I told him, you know what? This is your first time on Earth, too. You don't know what you're doing. So I'm like, this is my first time on Earth, too. I don't really know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I had to forgive him years ago.
Right on.
So now,
let me take a quick break. When I come back, I want you to ask me your question, all right? Your question for me. Hold on. 888-77-JESSE. Let me take a quick break. We're coming back in a moment. Oh, the treasure chest is now open on D-Live with, what's that?
And I'm pilled. And we're doing the scratch-offs. Nice.
Back in a moment.
Best counseling service on this side of heaven.
I counsel with men and women families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingdemand.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven. Okay, welcome back. The Hake Report is coming up next. TheHakeReport.com from 9 to 11, and then Joel Friday TV. You black. Joel Friday TV, and then The American Anchor Baby at 12 noon. The American Anchor Baby. Check out all of our merch, books. My books are amazing. From Race to Responsibility, my first book. And then Scam, How the Black Leadership Exploits Black America. And then the 7 Guaranteed Steps to Spiritual Family Financial Success Guide. A little small pocket guide for anyone, men and women, doesn't matter. And you can carry it around in your pocket if you like. 7 Steps to Success, all right? Easy to read and check it out. And The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. And the antidote kind of bring it all home. You know what I mean? The antidote. And I will sign them and check out our merch and all that stuff. And we have a special going on for shout-outs to fathers. Father's Day is coming up. And just as we did with the mother, we have a special on Cameo for fathers shout-out. So get your order in. Go to Cameo, C-A-M-E-O, cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson for shout out. And this discount or special lasts until the 6th of this month, June, and it ends at 10 p.m. Pacific time. So don't wait. All right. And the men's forum tonight. Men's Forum tonight at 7 p.m. Every first Thursday night for men only. Third Thursday night for ladies only. All right? What do you think about this gift for father from a stepson? Here's a clip of a father breaking down in tears as his stepson revealed his new last name during his high school graduation. This is going to make you teary. I watch this from X.
Alexander Phil. Caleb from St. Marie. Woo! William Ford.
How would you like that to be permanent?
Tyler Foster.
Because it's going to be.
Riley, 48.
What are you doing Tuesday? You want to go to court?
Christian.
Amazing. Nice stepfather. I mean, nice gift to his stepfather. Amazing. Let me go back to Yuda, a first-time caller out of Florida. Yudi. So, Yudi.
Yes?
And so, you are antisocial, you believe, right?
Yeah, well, that's the word people coming up with, like, or I don't want to be, or I feel, I guess I'm afraid from what you've been saying.
I'm afraid to be around people. I feel like I'm not good enough or anything like that. So I don't know. So I'm just, and yeah, oh, I tried to apologize to my father,
oh, yeah.
But he Haitian. He Haitian. And it's like, I was born in America. I was born in Miami, right? Little Haiti. But he Haitian. It's like, if your parents gave you food or shelter, they felt like they did enough. And you should be even thankful. I know we should be thankful for that. But he basically left my mom and left us.
Amazing.
Like,
why shouldn't you be thankful that your parents fed you? They were supposed to do that. That's the job of a parent. And why shouldn't you be thankful for that?
No, that's, I feel like that's the Haitian logic.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, because my daddy, I had to ask him about his past to get some of his background from him.
Right.
He told me his mom was a single mom. He begged his mom to marry his dad, but she said no. He's living with a woman right now. But she's giving off that attitude. You were saying that we women consult with the devil. Why not have kids? Why not get married first and have kids, right? No, you haven't. She has like probably 9 or 10 kids or something like that. This is in Haiti.
His mother has 9 or 10 kids?
Something like that. And it's by random people. Because my uncles, majority of my uncles and aunties are all half.
Whoa. What a slut.
So then on my daddy's, on my grandfather's side, he doesn't even know how many sisters and brothers. Last time he counted, I think it was 14.
Whoa.
So he doesn't know how many sisters and brothers he has. He I guess he left home. His daddy didn't take care of him. Like he said, his daddy came and got him at 7 years old, right? So yeah, grandfather did the right thing. Got him at 7 years old and then turned around and his wife was mistreating my daddy, right? My daddy ended up leaving the house at 14 or 15 and buying his own house in Haiti.
Amazing.
Because his father didn't protect him, so he ran away. And
how many
he joined
children,
the church and became...
How many mm-hmm. children do you have?
Me, I have 3.
Okay. And
by two marriages.
So you have 3 kids by 2 marriages, right?
Yes.
How old are they, the children?
One just went to the Navy. She's 18. She's 19.
Mm-hmm.
She just turned 19. I have a 14-year-old boy right now. They're at their father's house for the month. And a 13-year-old girl.
Right on. 14,
yeah.
And your question for me is what?
Oh, I just wanted to know who was writing.
Oh.
Because now you told me to question all my thoughts. They're from the devil.
Right.
And I've seen it now because it got me, just like the lady a few callers ago saying that it got you up and down, exhausted.
Yeah.
I have to literally scream at myself and say, that's not you.
Yes.
That's not me. Then the thing screamed back and said, then who are you?
It's
hard, but I hear it. I hear all your church services. I started with 2017.
Come back to the phone.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
I started with your 2017 church services. So I've been listening to them every morning, every night, even while I'm working delivering mail.
Amazing. Are you doing the silent prayer?
Yes, I'm doing the silent prayer, but it's like a minute. And I put down the pot, okay?
What?
I put down the pot.
So you don't smoke pot anymore?
No, I picked it up during the pandemic, like after my separation from my husband, right?
Right.
So I finally picked it up to see what everybody was talking about. And then I've been trying to fight to stop. I stopped for a while after a breakup. Then I start back up again. Now the last guy I was with, he was selling it. And I don't know how I got with this guy. I was just desperate. But I stopped now. Now you say we can't even get married no more because your first husband is your first husband.
Well,
and I know all this. And I grew up in a church. I knew all this. My daddy was a preacher. I knew all this.
Yeah. Well, listen, but don't think about getting married anymore. You don't need to get married
anymore. No, that's far from my mind. I feel too sick to get married to go please the guy. I just got a relationship. I just had an abortion.
You just had an abortion?
Yeah, I just had an abortion before my daughter left to the military. Like, she left on the 19th. I had an abortion that Friday, and she left that Monday. So, I was just a hot mess.
Why did you have an abortion?
Probably the 15th of May.
I said, why did you have one?
Why? Because the guy, I don't want to give no man no child if I'm not married to him. I'm not that bent. I don't want my kids to be born out of wedlock and all that. But now I realize the last two kids were born out of wedlock because that marriage don't count. But I divorced. I had the abortion because he had a house. He had cars because he a mechanic, but he sold drugs. And I like knew all this, but I said I was just gonna stay low with him. Now I realized he was emotional too. I'm out here dating my mom.
That's right.
Because every man I deal with, right, I basically want to eat them. Like, I want to devour them. And that's what I did to every guy I've been with. This guy, I didn't get a chance to do that with him because God got me pregnant and made me run away from him because Lord knows I'm not having no kids.
So every man you get with, you want to destroy him?
Yeah, because my mama was weak. And I realized every guy I get with is weak.
Yeah,
and I become my dad. I found out the entities that were there. They weren't evil boogie man, spooky Satan, because I don't believe in the devil, right?
Right.
It's an entity. It's something there.
Yes.
And I see it in my kids. I saw I passed it down to my daughter because the way she treated her boyfriend.
Yeah.
In front of me. And then I was like, they dating this whole time, and I didn't even know that was going on. So he getting abused by her. And he loving it because she's gorgeous. And I want to talk to him. Because it's heartbroken. She went to the military. It's heartbroken. But I want to say that and he dump her if I give her one of your messages. Like, if I send him one of your videos, I feel like he might dump her. But I feel like I don't have no choice. Because I see the evil spirit that was in me, it's in her.
Yes.
My dad and my mama, evil spirits are in me. Whatever they pass down, it's like I got to watch this thing every day so it don't come out.
Absolutely.
And I feel like you put a burden on me now that you opened my eyes. And made me see that these things were here. And why everybody I come around, I consume them. Because I was looking for something I don't think I understand. And then I'm trying to fix my family on top of that, but you told me to give that up. Because if God loved me just as much to pull me out of hell, he could pull the rest of them out of hell.
Absolutely.
And I think that's been my burden, because it's five of us. One just died. My mama just died right after him. So now it's four of us. And out of all of them, I feel like they in hell and nobody cares.
And you mean like nobody your brothers cares. And sisters?
Yeah, they
you
in
can't
hell.
Fish them. Stop it.
I know. And my daddy is in hell.
Leave them all, like, in, all hell. In hell. The hell with them. All right?
Yeah, but why did God make me see this? Why can't I just be in hell with them living it up?
Because you want the truth. You open up for the truth. And there seem to be always one or two other brothers or sisters in a family that want to wake up. So you're one of those people that want to wake up. So God is helping you. So leave everybody else in hell.
Yeah, because I can't. I ain't God, right?
What?
I'm not God. I can't save nobody.
That's right.
I can't be able to save myself.
That's right. You can't even save yourself. You surrender. And God will say, let me change this because of time. I would encourage you to do the silent prayer. Stay with it.
Yeah.
And then when you see those thoughts, crazy up and down thoughts, and talking to you or making you feel stuff in your body, never call them you again. I see that, but it's not me, all right?
Mm-hmm.
If you stay with it, you're going to walk on water.
No, I know, and I know to stay with it, but it's hard because I feel like I'm outnumbered in my head.
And you are like outnumbered in your head. That's why you shouldn't fight it. You should be aware of it, but don't fight it. And then the Spirit of God, the light which is allowing you to see the darkness, the thoughts, He will fight your battle for you. You can't do anything about it. All you need to do is see it. He'll take care of it.
Yeah.
So I want you to call me again.
That,
but
that
I,
still part is hard.
So what?
The part is hard. The still part.
So what now?
The be still part is hard.
Right. You know why? Because those thoughts don't want you to be still. They want you active so that they can stay alive inside of you to pretend to be you. But when you become still, you start to see that they're not you because God allowed you to do it, and they have to leave your body and go live in someone else. So that's why it's difficult. But you stay with it, it become easy.
I will. I'm going to still listen to your church. Every day I'm finding out something new about me. Something new I could, you know, take whatever. So certain things y'all say, it just be helping me. So I'm going to just continue listening to church service. I don't believe in the devil or Jesus quite yet, but I'm kind of understanding this stuff.
Right,
I kind of believe in God. I'm a just keep going, because what else can I do?
There you go.
At this point.
What Absolutely. Else? You stay with it, go all the way to the end, and you will get the prize. All right?
Yeah. Thank you.
And so don't call that stuff you. You're doing right about that. Watch those thoughts and just live your life. Don't try to save nobody. Don't try to help anyone else. You just work on you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Call me again.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Bye. Amazing. Let me go to Jennifer, our first time caller out of North Carolina. Jennifer, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing today?
All is well, Jennifer.
So I just kind of have a quick question.
Okay.
So I've been married for a long time. And when I got married, we were not Christians, neither one of us. And I became a Christian maybe 8-plus years ago, and he not. And so it's just kind of, you know, it's a little difficult to navigate at times, because we see things completely different. But one of the questions that I have, and it might be a little, I'm trying to say it as nice, as good as possible, I know that we are married. This is terrible. So like, is it required for me to be intimate with him?
Intimate?
Yes.
Do you want to be?
Absolutely not.
And why not?
It feels gross.
It's gross to be intimate with your husband?
Yeah. So, yes, it does. It feels gross. I know, it's terrible, but it's true.
Oh, has it always been that way?
No, not always.
Why
I would
did
say,
it become gross all of a sudden?
He does gross, I guess.
What?
That's the way to put it. Just like, I don't, it's just, he's, I'm not attracted to him. Like, and I don't mean physically. I just mean like on a spiritual level. Like he constantly lies. He does drugs, stuff like that.
And why
so,
do you
like,
stay
it's
with
very,
him?
We have children, and I feel like it's more important for him to be a part of their lives than it is, than that.
Okay, you're right about that.
Yeah. I completely agree. Yeah, I mean, we get along pretty well. You know, I have to, like, swallow, you know, and, you know, things a lot. So, definitely not. But I do not want to, it's just that, like, I've been, like, for a long time, I've been feeling like I've been forced. Like, it just feels really gross. And so, I think he's going to get really angry when, actually, I'm pretty sure he'll get pretty angry when I refuse. And so,
how many children do you have?
Three.
And so, do you resent your husband?
I'm not going to lie. I was for a while. I think I've gotten over that. I think I'm trying to forgive, and yeah, but not really.
No, you went all around the circle. Do you resent your husband?
I'm sorry.
And then you
no, I do not resent him anymore.
Okay, you don't resent him anymore, right?
And no, does anymore. He know I did
you don't want to sleep with him because he's gross?
I have said it before, but then I didn't hold the boundary and I did it. So I think like this won't be new information to him. When
oh,
I say
okay.
It.
All right.
Yeah.
And your question for me is what?
That I was just wondering, like, if that's what I was wondering, like, I live in the South, so there's a lot of, you know, like, oh, you're married, you have to do that, you're the wife, you have to, you know, do that to your, you know, with your husband and all that. I mean, and I'm like, and I kind of been praying, and I don't think I'm required to.
You're not.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. That's what I thought.
Yeah, but don't resent him and don't resent yourself.
Right.
You got to drop all the anger. Yeah. And then have an honest conversation with your husband mm-hmm. about it, but don't get mm-hmm. angry at his reaction to it, whatever it might be. But and then continue to work on yourself, and whatever it is that's causing you to feel that way, you'll mm-hmm. overcome it.
Okay.
But you're not, now that you have your children already, you're not required to do that.
Okay, cool. That's great. And he wants another kid, and I wouldn't mind having one, but I am old.
How old are you?
I am old. I am in my mid-40s.
But that's not too old to have a baby, is it?
Actually, I'm going to be honest with you. I am willing to... No, it's not. It's not. Like, I've been checked out. I'm good to go if I want one. I'm thought about, like, if since he wants one and I want one, that, like, just that when we know that it's that time that that I can have one, just doing it then.
Yeah, close your eyes and do it then and hurry up and get pregnant.
Okay. All right. That's what I want to do then. That's what I'll do.
And are you doing the silent prayer?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Stay with that. And so you can see what's really going on with you, and because whatever you're feeling has nothing to do with your husband. It's just that the anger or whatever you feel is happening on the inside mm-hmm. of you, and the thoughts, mm-hmm. which are all lies, are telling you that it's because of your husband, and it's not.
Okay.
So do the prayer and see what's going on with you. Stay with it. But be honest with your husband about it, and just don't get mad.
Okay.
All right.
I can do that. Okay.
I wish you well.
Thank you so much. You too.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Super chat.
Super chat.
Super chat.
Super chats.
Uncle Ruckus gave several super chats. I got 7 jobs. Most blacks can't find one.
What? No. Amazing, huh? They can find them. They just don't want to find them. Amazing. Thank you.
Uncle Ruckus, because tonight will be the night that I fall for you over again.
Amazing.
I don't know the melody.
I'm not the song doesn't sound familiar to me either. Amazing. Thank you.
I could have gotten a T-shirt for all the super chats I sent, says Uncle Ruckus.
Right on.
Nice.
Stay with it.
Jesse Lee Peterson .shop.
Yeah.
Henrik. On X Live, how do we celebrate White History Month? Is there a flag, special outfit, big marches?
We're trying to get the president to recognize it this year. Can they get the shirts knit?
No, not yet.
You told me we're going to be ready.
Well, we had a meeting and Omid told you otherwise.
Oh, yeah, huh? It'll take a week.
Yeah.
In a week, you'll be able to order them. We'll give you the information next week. Amazing. Thank you.
Chicken Patty on X Live. Happy Thursday, Jesse and everyone.
Happy Thursday. Thank you.
Conservative Chris, the Black Panther. Chris is here.
Hey, Chris.
Nice.
What the?
Anthony on Cash App. Intellectuals in denial. Trinity created by Catholic, says he on Cash App.
It's interesting. My guest said he first believed that the Trinity existed because somebody said it, some preacher or someone. And now he can't get... I'm saying this part. He can't get it out of his mind. It's not even in the Bible, but when he read the Bible, he's making himself see it as that. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you.
And on YouTube, Aaron G. is struggling and suffering the same thing.
100%. You got to stop. Lay your weapon down. Surrender. You can't do anything but see it. And the father lets you do that. Amazing. Thank you.
Harmony is... Oh, Harmony, American flag, flower bouquet. Some flowers for you, Jesse, and experts.
Thank you. I accept.
Dustin, a monthly supporter on the Rumble crew, a subscriber. reminds us of Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words.
I rest my case. Amazing. Thank you.
Stop the cap. For you to keep saying there's no teaching of the Trinity in the Bible is just not true. And I don't know why you keep rejecting it. Jesus literally said, go and baptize all nations in the name of the singular, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three in one Holy Trinity. You are just in denial, and that's dangerous.
There's no teaching about a Trinity in the Bible. God never mentioned that. I mean, Christ never mentioned a Trinity. He was talking about the Father. He was talking about the Son. He was talking about the teacher. He never said anything about a Trinity. What's amazing. Thank you.
Thank you. Stop the cap. And someone, Paul, embraced suffering in a prison cell and still served and believed in God. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And he said that the 2 Corinthians 12:9 saved his life during a near-death experience, and he saw the light.
Amazing. He has put his angels in charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Amazing. Stay with it.
And he says more, but it's not pithy enough for us to read it on air, but I will pass it along.
Keep it pithy.
Roy bought a coffee. If anyone asks, what's the matter with me?
Tell him I'm saved.
Sanctified.
Sanctified.
And running for my life.
And running for my life. Amazing. Thank you.
Nikki says, did God allow Job to suffer?
No.
On Cash App.
Amazing, no.
We mentioned that on in the church with Jesse Lee.
He allowed the devil to take all that stuff away, but Job was not suffering from that. Amazing, thank you.
Old Salty Dog on Pilled Gifted the Can. Cheers, Jesse.
Right on, thank you.
Eli P., Trump is what is referred to as a Pied Piper.
What manner of man is this? The wind and sea obey him. The world obeys Donald Trump. Amazing.
Christine, hey, Jesse, don't want to spam, but we'd love to hear you, your coworker, say a silent cheer that everybody hates. Thank you for the great work. Take care.
Amazing.
You talk about the five coffees. I'm not sure, but I just did it just in case.
Right on.
Shout out to Games for Rec Greenwald, Kid Combo One, and the rest of the supporters on the D-Live crew. And we'll have to stop there, guys. Yeah. I appreciate them all. We'll read more later.
Yeah, we'll finish those tomorrow. Deshaun out of Riverside, California. Luai out of Dubai. Dubai. Heard around the world. George, a first-time call out of Illinois, and the caller just dropped. I'm out of time. I'll be back tomorrow. Open Line Friday, plus Black Friday tomorrow. Work on yourself, folks. If you want to be free, you can be. Hate coming up now, then Joy of Friday, then the Anchor Baby. Bye.
Information, thoughts, and opinions expressed during this show are the individual's own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of the JLP Network or Bond. Their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. The JLP Network and Bond name and all forms and abbreviations are the property of its owner, and its use does not imply endorsement of or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service.
I just want to say thank you for everything that you do. You've absolutely changed my life for the positive, and I just want to thank you. I was 29-year-old beta, living at home with my mom, and just was living in fear and doubt, and I couldn't hold down a job. And then I found you, and I started listening, and I started just being more at peace. And I forgave my mom, and I forgave my father. And it's like right after that, everything just changed in my life, and I was able to get a good job, and I moved out, and I live on my own now, and everything has just changed. And I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate you for spreading that message. It really is a positive message.
Amazing. That's good, man. I want people to know God loves us in ways that there are no words to express. Because you have nothing to compare it to, right? Stay with the silent prayer. You haven't seen anything yet. It gets better.